Some people call desperation, other people call necessity. If you think what Triple H did to me the week before, if you think that was an act of bravery, attacking a man who's handcuffed, you want to talk about trying to soften somebody up. He put my head against a steel post and hit me with a chair. Okay, he handcuffed me and threw me all over the place. Look at my shoulder now. Do I look like somebody who's softened up? Absolutely. Does that soften my heart? Does that soften my desire to win, the desire to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion? I don't think so. And I've got some bad news for you, Wade. And I've got some bad news for Triple H. Hunter, you can't beat me at WrestleMania. Because you might be able to beat me down, but you can't beat my heart.
I have one pair of skinny jeans, and I'm going to wear them every week just to piss you off.
Yes, come on, Slobber, yes.
How did I know you were going to do that?
Yeah, how could you not do that with Daniel Bryan's music playing?
It is appropriate. We are in New Orleans for WrestleMania 30 at what has been dubbed the Yes House.
So we have
this maniac over here who has to open the show, which I think, if I remember correctly, is how last year's roundtable ended.
I think us yesing?
I believe you and Brian Blade were yesing, as I called you both idiots, and we faded out, and that's... Here we are now, 1 year later. Can you believe it? A year has gone by.
A year has gone by, but unfortunately no Brian Blade.
No, well, we're going to get to that in a second. This is episode 321 of the Solomonster Sounds Off. Today is, we are recording this show actually 2 days before WrestleMania. It's Friday, April 4th, 2014. I am the Solomonster. You are?
I'm Noah Mark. Yeah. Noah the Mark, as you like to call me.
I'm surprised after all the drinks you've had, you remember your name.
I do. We started the morning off with a daiquiri this morning.
We started out with a hurricane, I believe it was.
We had a hurricane daiquiri, that's right.
Hurricane daiquiri. And we had a special event to attend immediately after the hurricane daiquiri. Actually, we were drinking in the cab going to... We are such degenerates, it's not even funny.
Drinking in a cab. You can't even do that. This is like the only city in the United States I think you're allowed to do that.
Now, well, to do that in New York, and I did this once. Actually, it was a group of us. We did have alcohol, but it was in an unmarked container, and the cab driver didn't know. Yeah. Either he didn't know or he didn't care. But anyway.
With that brown bag on it?
No, not quite that degenerate. But yeah, New Orleans, anything goes. We've had fun. We've been here now a couple days. We are actually on Bourbon Street. We are staying here on Bourbon Street for the duration of WrestleMania weekend. And before we move on, I got to give some love to Audible.
Absolutely.
Audible.com. I mention this every week. Many of you have signed up for the Audible trial, and you have supported the show, so I thank you. Noah, have you signed up for your Audible trial at audibletrial.com/Solomonster? Have you done that?
Yes.
Okay, you are so full of shit.
All right. I need to, and I really do want to, because you know I've heard you mention it on the show before. You say that there's wrestling books about wrestling on the audible.com website.
Yes, absolutely. You're a big Hulk Hogan fan, right? Big Hulkamaniac. Brother. They got the Hulk Hogan book. They've got the Dusty Rhodes book. So anyway, thank you to everybody who has signed up there. It's a free 30-day trial. You sign up, you get one free audiobook. And if you don't like your trial for whatever reason, and I'm sure you will, if you don't, you get to keep the book. So audibletrial.com/Solomonster, and that helps the podcast when you do that. And also some PayPal shout-outs. Noah, have you cashed in your PayPal shout-out yet on this show?
No.
Actually, he has.
But you're calling me out on everything.
That's why we call him Noah the Mark. The Mark is your official nickname. But I have three people I want to thank for making donations this past week. Luis Hercules Hernandez, right?
I've heard that name before.
Have you?
Haven't we?
Of course.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's not alive anymore, but Luis is. Luis is very much alive.
Okay, I gotcha.
Sean Grand Slam Green.
Nice.
And Andrew the Animal Aspie.
All right.
So thank you, gentlemen, for making a donation. Noah mentioned before, we are a two-man team.
Right.
Here, normally for these shows, it's myself, Noah, and Brian Blade. Unfortunately, Brian Blade is here in spirit. He's not here in the flesh. He's been a little delayed. He's going to join us tomorrow on our odyssey to WrestleMania 30.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I saw you coming out of the Voodoo store. And then all of a sudden, I get the call from Brian Blade that he's unavailable for the podcast and he's going to be delayed.
What are you implying?
I'm not implying anything. I just thought it was just maybe a coincidence or maybe too much of a coincidence.
This is a big voodoo city. I really was not aware of that. This is, I don't know if this is the home of voodoo or what the deal is here, but they got voodoo shops all over the place. I've heard that Charles Wright is in town and perhaps not to do the Godfather gimmick, maybe a little Papa Shango cameo, maybe at WrestleMania.
I'm telling you, there's ghost tours and there's a whole thing going on.
It's crazy. So what we want to do here before we get into the wrestling stuff, because we've had some cool things that we've done so far just in the first couple days. And by the way, we've already bumped into a whole bunch of wrestlers. Everybody's bumping into wrestlers. They were all out in full force on Bourbon Street last night. Us, the cool guys that we are, we were so wiped out from the day. We were in bed by, what, 10 o'clock? Except for this guy over here who apparently awoke at 2 o'clock in the morning, unbeknownst to me, I was in a deep sleep, I guess, and went to the casino.
I did. I went to Harrah's Casino. You know why? Why not?
And how many thousands did you piss away last night?
I made $10.
And you could take that $10 and donate it to me via PayPal and get a nickname.
I already lost it again.
Oh, you son of a bitch. But one thing that we had just to go back to that for a second. So, you know, I mentioned on Twitter and Facebook, you know, on my flight from New York here to New Orleans, in the security line, I bumped into Mick Foley.
And
his beautiful daughter, Noelle. I have to say,
she is beautiful.
She is gorgeous. It's almost, and no offense to Mick, because I like Mick Foley a lot, but I almost can't believe that they're related. Like she's stunning. She's a knockout.
I just wonder the clowns that she's dating. I just have to say,
little inside joke there, Noah. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, the heavy rumor is that the WWE clown Frank the Clown is a little chummy with Mick Foley's daughter.
A little chummy, all over Instagram and Twitter.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, chicks!
They look like the clowns.
They dig the clowns.
They like the clowns.
Hey,
that's fine.
Doink got a lot of action back in the day.
Should have brought your red nose.
How do you know it's not in my backpack? You don't know that.
That's true. By the way, speaking of a flight, Kevin Nash on my flight, sleeping.
Kevin Nash sleeping. Noah creeping by snapping photos of Kevin Nash deep in sleep on the airplane.
Okay, now hold on one second. I took a photo. Entering the plane, I took a photo of Kevin Nash sleeping. But.
Sure.
Okay, but on social media yesterday, there was a photo of a man and his boy taking a photo of Randy Orton at the men's in the men's room.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this because there's a photo online. I don't know where it was taken. It was here in New Orleans, whether it was a restaurant or wherever. Maybe it was at Access. Randy Orton is in the men's room. He just did his business. I don't want to know what he did, but he did something. And he's washing his hands. And this kid has this big smile on his face. There was like another guy behind him.
His father.
And he and the kid's on camera because he took this picture and it's reflected back in the mirror. And Randy Orton has this look on his face like somebody just shoved like hot coal up his ass or something. He's like, what? What's going on here? And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you couldn't wait 2 minutes for the guy to come out of the bathroom before you attack him. Is it really necessary to... I mean... Common sense, people, please. Common sense. What is this?
People, well, you said it yourself. When you were waiting online, you said hello to Foley.
I said hello to Foley, and Foley sat down with his daughter to, you know, grab some food as we were waiting to board our flight. And people started swarming him. He has, like, his fork in mid-flight towards his mouth, and people are just starting to swarm. And I'm like, there's a time and a place. Please. Common sense. Maybe it's just me.
You know,
am I wrong? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But the thing is, the people just get so starstruck. They're out of town. They don't. Some of them are out of the country. And I'm not. And this is not
in the bathroom, though.
This is not.
I'm surprised they didn't. If Randy Orton's on the stall taking a crap, they didn't kick the door open and take a picture of him.
I'm sure that there's been wrestlers that have been in the bathroom getting like, "Hey, man, I'm a big fan. Oh, thanks a lot."
Yeah, but that's different.
No, telling them while they're in the stall doing their business.
Oh, well, okay. That's a little disgusting, actually.
Or can you imagine...
Peeking their head out from underneath the partition.
That's right.
So looking up, hey, can I have an autograph?
And they need some toilet paper?
Yeah, you need some teepee? Use my hand.
Oh, gosh.
People are just repulsive to me. These people are repulsive. Mm-hmm. Anyway, from that, we go to a completely different type of story. So we mentioned earlier we were having our hurricanes.
That's right,
I guess. And we attended a Norwegian wedding. here in New Orleans. Now, I mentioned this, I think, 2 weeks ago on the Sound Off, that one of our listeners, Marcus, was getting married here in town. His family, his fiance's family, not invited, not out of spite, but just because both families, I guess, couldn't afford to fly
No, well, he didn't tell them.
But my understanding is that he didn't tell them because it would be impossible to get both sides of the family to fly in, and it wouldn't be fair to only have, let's say, his family and not hers, or vice versa. So they just decided, the hell with it. If nobody comes, nobody can be offended by it. And they were going to get married WrestleMania weekend. Big fans. Not just Sound Off fans, but big WWE fans.
And this is their first WrestleMania.
Their very first WrestleMania. And so myself and Noah, we crashed the wedding.
We were invited.
Well, yeah, we were invited, but it was at this Norwegian church here in New Orleans, and we actually have some audio that we recorded from the wedding. Let me thank them here on the air. It was very, very nice of them to invite us. You can see from the photos online, it wasn't an overly formal affair, so please don't yell at me for wearing my official Sound Off t-shirt.
You were in uniform.
I was in uniform. I did have a suit jacket on, in my defense.
Made it classy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't wearing flip-flops and shorts.
No.
Okay. So anyway, we attended the wedding. It was really very nice. And we want to play some audio from the ceremony, very brief, and we had a chance to interview the new couple. A Sound Off exclusive.
You're like Mean Gene with a post WrestleMania interview.
Only I have way more hair on my head than Mean Gene did.
Well, everybody does.
So let's play a little bit of that right now for you. This is the Norwegian wedding in New Orleans. A Sound Off exclusive.
For Gud var skapers ansikt, og I disse vittnes nære, spør jeg deg, Markus Øvinger. Vil du ha Trine Hansen som står ved din side til din ektefelle?
Ja.
Like så spør jeg deg, Trine Hansen, vil du ha Markus Øvinger som står ved din side til din ektefelle?
Ja.
Well, we are here with the new married couple. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Very honored that you have invited us to be part of your special day. So how do you feel now? You're a married man. You've tied the knot. You're taken.
It feels right.
You've beaten him off with sticks for months now. You know, you're a taken man. I mean, you feel different. How do you feel?
First of all, it feels right to go that step. That's for my part.
It still feels so unreal. It's just, yeah, I don't think we're quite...
Well, in fairness, we are attacking them literally, 30 minutes after they got married.
Very fresh and new.
Yeah.
Yes. We tied them up. We took them outside to an undisclosed location. We basically kidnapped them. But no, so what are your plans now for the rest of the weekend? You're married now. You've got that out of the way. All the butterflies are gone. What are you going to do now?
I'm not quite sure all the butterflies are gone, but, you know, now we can concentrate on the main event.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, it's from now on, it's only wrestling. Forget the wedding stuff. Now it's the time for important
stuff. Forget that cheesy wedding stuff.
Everybody can do that at any time.
Now, let me ask you a question. The only question that matters, main event, WrestleMania, final match on the card. What do you think it will be, and what would you like to see happen?
I would like to see Daniel Bryan going home with the titles.
He deserves that.
So we don't have a married couple here where you want, you know, Triple H to win and you want Daniel Bryan.
No, we're on the same page on that one.
Because if not, we'd have to have a steel cage match. And then we would be accompanying them to, you know, the paperwork for the divorce. We don't want that.
Oh, boy.
No, we're
tag team partners for life.
Sean and Marty said the same thing once upon a time.
Excellent.
Listen to you, Salamat. You're Mr. Negative Nancy over here.
I try not to be. But again, thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Very happy that we could be here, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
You too. How nice was that?
That's awesome.
That was beautiful.
Well, why the hell are you talking about divorce 30 minutes into them getting married?
Well, it is a fact that most marriages in this country, anyway, maybe not in Norway, but most marriages in this country, they don't end too well.
Why are we saying this?
Well, they're going to be fine.
You told them that Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels broke up. Don't trust anybody.
Well, she did say we're a tag team. Let's be honest. Any wrestling fan knows that if you're a tag team, you're going to break up at some point. It's just inevitable. As long as they understand the realities of it, they'll be fine. So thank you again to Marcus.
You know what's great, though?
And his wife, Trina.
Not only are they married at WrestleMania, but that means that every year the anniversary is during WrestleMania. That
WrestleMania season.
That just, like, lends itself to go to WrestleMania every year in honor of your anniversary.
It's like getting married on Christmas.
That's true.
Only, you know what, though? That's not really such a good thing because, like, if you're a younger guy, you know what really sucks? If your birthday falls on Christmas.
Right,
because
you don't get the double presents.
You don't get the double presents. But for them, again, they're big wrestling fans, so they'll be fine. So thank you to them. What we want to do here before we get into the whole WrestleMania prediction game, which is kind of an annual tradition now here on the show.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit about the Go Home episode of Raw from this past Monday night, which was in Bautista's hometown.
And he got a reaction, a good reaction.
He got a semi-positive reaction initially, and then it turned to booze. But they were in D.C. for Raw Monday night. And just to run through some things really, really quickly, just to start with Brock and The Undertaker. Finally, The Undertaker takes a bump here in the build-up to this feud, which has seen nothing but threats of stealing souls and shit. I love saying that. And constantly Brock cowering in fear, getting knocked over the top rope, almost breaking his neck. Everything we've seen, The Undertaker took an F5 in the middle of the ring to build up some heat for this match. But I maintain what I said last week. I think the match will turn out to be good, maybe even really good. But the build-up to me has just been very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Brock Lesnar running around the ring. He's scared of The Undertaker in the ring. I mean, he really needs... You know, the second I saw this go down with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar headed towards the ring, I said, okay, Paul's going to do the classic thing where he jumps in or tries to jump in, maybe with a chair. In this case, it was with a chair. Because Paul is such a distraction. And then Brock Lesnar comes in and takes advantage. But not only did that... It did happen, but it took Brock Lesnar going around the ring... Backing up.
They were stalling for time. I don't know what that was about.
What was
it? It was a good segment, though. Undertaker almost fell out of the ring at one point.
You liked the segment.
In the end, I thought it did what it was supposed to do. I'm looking at the totality of the build.
You're looking at the F5.
I'm looking at the F5 was good. He had to.
Right.
He had to do something.
My argument is that
I held my breath on that F5, by the way, because I thought Undertaker was gonna fall into a bag of bones on the floor. Thankfully, he was okay.
If he is capable of F5-ing The Undertaker like that, then there should be no reason why he's scared to go into the ring.
Well, I mean, look, I don't mind that as much. Okay. Undertaker has this mystique. You're supposed to be kind of afraid of him, and he's this air of mystery. He's shrouded in mystery. I don't know. Just work with me here on this.
I saw a photo of him online where he looked like Grandpa.
He's getting up there in years, and he's got some kids from earlier marriages. I don't know if they're of childbearing age, but he's getting up there. You know, we all get old, Noah.
It's true.
But anyway, so it had to happen. I'm glad it did. I still remain very underwhelmed by the build to this match, but I think they're going to have a really good match at the pay-per-view. I want to talk about the Triple H troll video. Did you see this Triple H troll video narrated by Stephanie McMahon? There were a lot of people who were very upset when they saw the... Oh, they took it so personally. How dare he? It's like he buried all of these guys. Booker T and Scott Steiner. First of all, Scott Steiner buried himself, just for the record, by coming in and suplexing Triple H all over the place and falling on his ass. But it was just a collection of clips of guys that Triple H has beaten over the years. And a lot of those clips came from what I call the Reign of Terror in 2002, 2003, where he did put a lot of guys down. Some would say that it helped make him a stronger champion, and I say that there were guys who unnecessarily were knocked down the card at that time. And so we had Booker T, Kurt Angle was in the video, Goldberg was in the video.
Jeff Hardy
was in the video.
Interesting, there's two TNA guys, seemingly current TNA guys that... They didn't really have any objection to putting them on television. You know, usually they shy away from current TNA talent showing them on any type of...
It was interesting. This video with this collection of people that Triple H has buried, if you will, it reminded me of one of those In Memoriam videos you see on Talking Dead every single week.
Like, right.
At the end of every episode, we have this corny video to this very somber music of all the people who died in the most recent episode and the different zombies. That's kind of what this reminded me of. But I liked it a lot. I mean, I have to say, I have really enjoyed a lot of the stuff that Triple H and Stephanie have done these last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Stephanie, I think, is great in her role as this shrieking wench who at some point has to take a bump or just get her comeuppance. I don't know if it's from Brie Bella or how they're going to do that. Stephanie, you know, Stephanie can only emasculate so many wrestlers before she has to get her payback. But Triple H has found his niche role. This is who he is. It's been so long since we've been able to see him play the role of heel and bump around for a babyface like he did at the end of the show. He was bumping around like a rubber ball.
Sold that like $1 million.
Sold it, like oversold it, but it was great. But think about it. When was the last time we saw Triple H sell for a babyface like that, right? He hasn't wrestled much in recent years, but it's been as a babyface. And you have to go back to 2006. He had that WrestleMania match with Cena. And it was very soon after that he reformed DX. He's been a babyface ever since. He's miscast as a babyface. And so I don't think he should be the focal point of any shows anymore. He's older. He's in a position of power. But if he's going to be in one, this is the right role for him.
You know, my thing has always been, as of late, you know, I guess it's one of those things where I'm never satisfied. You know, maybe I'm predispositioned to not be satisfied. Because, you know, of course, I've been bitching and moaning that I want Daniel Bryan into the title fold. And then when he gets in the title fold, I'm not happy with exactly how it's being presented.
So you're like every internet wrestling fan.
Yeah. Listen, here's my thing.
Yes, yes, yes. We love Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan just won the championship. Oh, we hate Daniel Bryan.
No, I don't hate Daniel. I love Daniel Bryan.
Hate him on Monday. You are going to be one of these people where after he wins the championship, don't you think Daniel Bryan is overexposed? Don't you think he's stale? And then I'm going to have to slap you in the face and knock some sense into you.
There is a charm to
The underdog.
There's a charm to the underdog, but even more so than that. There's a charm to going against the grain, because not only do you have Daniel Bryan as the underdog, but you also, at one point, no matter what, anybody who wants to say that it wasn't true, they had no plans to put him in this title picture.
Well, look, I've been saying that. For how long have I been saying that? You listen to the show every week. How long have I been saying? I agree with you 100% on that. But we are here. We are here. It'll be very satisfying. We'll get into the predictions in a second.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is that there's also an appeal to not only wanting your guy to win, but they're also sticking it to the company. You know what? We're not going to accept the Big Show versus Randy Orton at the Survivor Series, which I was at live. We're not going to accept Bautista coming back in the Royal Rumble, which I was also at live. It was very frustrating, and we let him have it in Pittsburgh. You're welcome, by the way. And but there is also that appeal of like, well, they don't want this to happen, so we're going to stick it to them. So when you take the underdog and you also take, we're fighting the man, we're fighting the company. I think that, you know, there are those chosen few that like the fight better than the actual result. They don't even, you know, once they get the result, they have some sort of, oh, okay, great, yeah.
Yeah, no. Look, there's something to be said for the thrill of the chase.
Right.
But that chase has to have an end at some point. Now, this chase has been going on since August.
And then you get married, like our Norwegian couple.
That's right.
The chase is over.
You get married, you get complacent.
So here you go again with Marty Jannetty breaking up.
You get fat, and anyway. I'm going to be single for the rest of my life.
I was just going to say, and how's your wife?
Ladies, I am single. Look, there is the thrill of the chase. This chase has been going on for a long time now. Whether that was the intent for it to climax here or not, I don't think it was. But it likely will. And hopefully at that point, people will learn to look at Bryan in such a way where they could appreciate him for what he brings to the table. Like, I appreciate him because he's a very good performer in the ring. He's a lot of fun to watch as a wrestler. A little bit watered down now, but that's not his fault. That's just he's conformed to the WWE style.
He had to.
But he has the best, and actually, maybe not. Seth Rollins is giving him a run for his money. But for me, if him and Rollins are neck and neck, the best babyface comeback in pro wrestling today is a Daniel Bryan comeback. He's awesome. He's great in that role.
He's got almost a warrior type of
he does
vibe.
Starts shaking around and nodding up and down and stuff like that.
And the beard starts going flying and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's always going to be people who want to go against the grain.
Right.
They're tired of all this overwhelming support. They're just going to rebel because they almost resent the kind of support that he's gotten. And maybe they just don't like the guy. He's too small. He's boring. Whatever. But I like the position they've put him in now. Where we have gotten, we may as well just skip to the end of the show. I love that angle to end Raw last Monday night. Triple H is at ringside doing commentary for a Randy Orton-Batista match, the WrestleMania main event 6 days early. Brian comes out of the crowd, beats the piss out of Triple H. Triple H is bumping all over the place for him, and the crowd exploded. You never know what kind of reaction you're going to get. This place came unhinged.
This is the only time, aside from one kick on that Raw in Chicago, that we have seen any offense from Daniel Bryan onto Triple H.
This is the Daniel Bryan that I think a lot of people were hoping to see a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah, you can only get beat down for so long before it, enough is enough, and you got to let him go out there like a pit bull, like a bulldog, and just tear ass. And that's what he did. That's what he did on Monday night.
Triple H was almost selling him like Shawn Michaels sold Hogan at SummerSlam '05.
It was somewhat comical, but
it was a little bit over exaggerated selling.
Yeah, yeah.
You have Daniel Bryan, who's how much does he weigh? And he's Triple H is, feels it. Like, Triple H sold it like the Big Show threw him around the ring.
He did. Triple H probably sold better for Bryan than he ever did in a Big Show match in his career. And Bryan took a kendo stick. He was whipping Triple H with it. Somehow in all of this, Triple H's shirt came unbuttoned so he could show his chest off. Like, I don't know what the hell happened here, but it was great. I loved it. I loved the end of the show. Bryan was awesome here, and he was also awesome. You heard a little bit of the audio there in the intro from Backstage Pass, which is the Raw postgame show on the network. They allowed him to cut the kind of promo that I wish they would let him and others do on the main show. That's the sort of wrestling promo that can really sell a pay-per-view main event, and we got it, but it was on the network in the post show. I don't know how many people saw it, so I wanted to play some of the audio there, but he did one of those things that I love. He looked dead in the, at one point, he looked dead in the camera. He didn't look off camera like they do in those backstage segments, like they're reading off cue cards. He looked dead in the camera. He was talking, in this case, he was talking to Triple H, but really he was talking to the audience. He didn't have some, I talked to Noah, I talked to you about this the other day. If I had to criticize Bryan for one thing that annoys me, it's that a lot of times when he's on TV or he's cutting a promo, he has this look on his face, like this smirk, like he's about to crack up laughing. That does annoy me. If I had to pick one really thing that irks me about him, that would be it. And there was none of that here. He had his game face on, he was dead serious, and he said, "You can't beat me." Basically, "I'm going to beat your ass, you can't beat me." And it was great. I loved everything about this angle to close the show. As a show, it was okay. It wasn't the strongest go-home show, but hey, you can have a dull show, but those last 5 minutes can tell the tale. They ended strong, and that's what matters. I liked what they did on Monday.
My one criticism of this program has been Daniel Bryan has not gotten anywhere near equal mic time as Triple H. And I think that Daniel Bryan can have good promos, can have great promos, and also needs work on his promos. And I think really the only way you work through it
Well, he's going to have the chance now, because whether he wins the title or not at the pay-per-view, going forward, he's essentially the number two guy in the company.
Right.
Or number two or three. He's in that upper echelon. He's made it. Kind of like there was a point where Punk made it. We felt like, okay, he's in that upper threshold. You know, maybe he'll be knocked down for a program or two like he kind of was before he bailed. And kind of like what they did with Bryan and the Wyatt family. But Bryan's there. He's like a made man in that company now. And he's going to have the opportunity to cut more promos and do a lot more stuff on TV. Hopefully he'll get better and better at it as time goes on. One other thing I have to just mention about this, though. I was amazed by how many people, when this angle was over, their first reaction wasn't, "Oh, that was so great." It was, "Well, I guess that means Daniel Bryan's not winning at the pay-per-view."
Because if he gets the upper hand at the
end
of Raw, he
got the upper hand. That must mean Wrestling 101. He's losing at the pay-per-view. Now, that is traditionally how things were done. It's not like it's universal 100% of the time that's accurate. Use your brain, people. Use your brain. Doesn't matter. All these formulas and all this stuff goes out the window because nothing that they have done these last few months makes any sense. So we are where we are now. Believe me, they have not built this up and built this up and built this up to have Bryan lose in what was Jonathan's prediction? One of the 18 seconds Triple H was going to beat him?
I was just going to say that, actually. He got that from Kayfabe News.
These people are scary. They walk among us. These are real people.
KayfabeNews.com, the most trusted source.
Kayfabe News did have a story. Maybe that's where he got it from.
That is where he got it from. Daniel Bryan to lose to Triple H in 18 seconds.
Calm down, people.
That's hilarious.
Calm down. Just because Bryan stood tall at the end of the pay-per-view on Monday night does not mean he's losing. There must have been a lot go-home angles back in the Attitude Era where Steve Austin was left standing tall, and he usually made out pretty well at WrestleMania. I'm sure Bryan will be fine. Last thing just to talk about Raw before we move on.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Austin joined Vince McMahon. He joined the devil himself. Maybe Daniel Bryan will join Triple H.
Yeah, but Austin won at 14. He won a few. Austin won at more than a few WrestleManias in his day. Although, actually, the
His last one.
He did, but I was thinking about 18, actually, that show he beat Scott Hall that Raw before was when he and The Rock got beat by the NWO. But The Rock took the fall, technically, in that match.
Right.
Anyway, some nerd trivia there for you. I want to talk about the Divas. Do you believe there were two Divas matches on Raw last Monday night?
I saw that.
6 minutes and 22 seconds combined.
That's crazy.
That's unbelievable. Well, I guess maybe we could thank Total Divas. I don't watch Total Divas, but maybe there is something to be said for that. But Summer Rae, who has new music, she's probably not good news for Fandango. She's becoming a bigger star than Fandango is.
I think she is already.
They were doing a signing together. We went to the WrestleMania Superstore yesterday, which is enormous, by the way. It's almost obscene how much merch they have in this store. I met Byron Saxton, very nice man, big Gators fan. And they were doing a signing together, and it seemed to me like people were more interested in meeting Summer Rae than they were poor Fandango.
Yeah, because Fandango was...
Which a year ago would not have been the case. Think about where we were a year ago when we did the podcast. The night after, in New Jersey, the Fandangoing. And look where he is now.
Yeah,
Missed the opportunity, or just... Is he in the spot that he should be in right now?
He had an injury that killed the momentum.
Concussion.
He had a concussion. It killed the momentum. Stone Cold Steve Austin went on Twitter saying that he was going to get the Intercontinental title, which I don't know if Stone Cold was trolling him and
no, I think
wishing him ill will because Biggie has this Intercontinental title, and I have to tell you that, you know...
Not at all. No, I think Austin saw something in this guy and probably saw the way he was being pushed, and right. Then he got over.
Yeah.
But Austin makes too much sense. Austin has a very old-school way of thinking. He's thinking, hey, this guy's over. He's got a future. Traditionally, what would happen? You would win the Intercontinental title, which used to mean something.
Right.
Means nothing now.
Nothing.
I thought maybe they were making it mean something with Big E.
They had in-ring introductions for an Intercontinental Championship match.
But that's the thing. They're so bipolar when it comes... When they feel like making a title mean something, they do. Okay? They can do it. But then after 2 weeks, it's almost like they lose interest. Big E was on tele. He was getting TV time. He was racking up wins. Then he disappeared. I don't know. There was like a whole period that went by on Raw where he wasn't even on TV. Then they would give him the jobber entrance where they came back from commercial. Oh, there's Big E, the Intercontinental Champion. Now he doesn't even have a title match. He's in the Battle Royal at the pay-per-view.
And he lost, if we're talking about Raw, he lost to Alberto Del Rio this past Monday.
He did. I think he lost twice because I think Del Rio beat him on SmackDown too the week before. There were people who were upset about that too. I didn't mind that just because Del Rio is in the Battle Royal. They're trying to convince you that more than just Big Show has a chance to actually win this thing. Del Rio has been, I call him Del Jabo because that's how he's been treated. You got to make him mean something. So giving him a win over Big E, I don't think it'll hurt Big E. They're trying to get something going with Del Rio, make him mean something. That's fine. I have no problem with that. People were very upset. I have no problem.
Well, I thought it was a great match to begin with.
They had a very good match. Yeah,
I thought it was a good match.
They had a very good match.
But, you know, and I understand your point of view, but at the same time, when you look at it just on the Big E side, just on here's another non-title match for an Intercontinental Champion where he loses. Like, again, really. Alberto Del Rio should have an Intercontinental Championship.
You're right about that. If you're the champion, you lose a non-title match, then that person deserves a title shot. And if I'm remembering correctly, and Del Rio beat him twice and still doesn't get a title shot, it goes back to what I said, the title means jack shit.
Nothing.
That's on them.
Right.
There's no U.S. title match. I don't even know when the last time that was defended. Main event, I think, like a month ago.
Yeah.
No Intercontinental title match. Tag title match on the pre... Let's just get into it now. WrestleMania is this Sunday at the Superdome.
Let's do it.
In New Orleans. 4-hour show plus a 2-hour pre-show. So 6 hours total. Is it the first hour of the pre-show is on YouTube and everything else, and then the second hour is on the network exclusively? Is that how it is?
That's right. And, you know, just to move off to the side, we had this conversation earlier, and a shout-out to all of our international listeners who have complained... They're not going to see the second hour of the pre-show, which will contain the tag team championship match.
Right, and there were people on Twitter writing into I think it was the official WWE Network Twitter asking them about that, and the great response people were getting was, in so many words, we don't know. If you have any other questions, feel free to ask. Oh, that's great. That's a big help to those people. So I don't know that they really thought this out the way they should have. It's unfair. I can understand why those people would be very upset. And it goes to what I wanted to talk about here. The pre-show match is indeed the tag team championship match. We have the Usos defending against the Real Americans, defending against Ryback and Curtis Axel, who, as I've said before, are allergic to victory.
Right.
Okay. Can't win a match to save their life, but they got a tag team title match. And, oh God, who's the, oh, the, oh, the Matadors.
Now and the Bull.
Yeah, and, Bull. And the Bull.
The Bull will be out there.
Oh, this is Bull. This is Bull. Now, I have nothing against Primo and Epico, Fernando and Hernando, whatever the hell their names are. Very good wrestlers, good athletes. At least they're getting TV time. That's all well and good. Of course, they didn't get TV time on Raw for a few months until one day they just decided, hey, I guess their father slash uncle or whatever is going into the Hall of Fame, and so we should put them on TV and give them a tag. I don't know what the rationale was for putting them in that match and keeping Cody and Goldust in a battle royal. Two men among 30, and I'm sure they'll be dumped out accordingly. Unless they have some angle plan to split them up and they're going to do it in the battle royal. I don't know. Why would they not be part of that tag team title match? Why would Ryback and Curtis Axel and the Matadors? You have four spots in this match. Cody and Goldust, up until recently, were probably one of the hottest acts in that entire company. Were they not? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, we saw them compete in that match with the...
it was against the Shield. They had multiple matches with the Shield.
They had the one where their jobs were on the line.
That was awesome.
And his father was there.
That was phenomenal. The only saving grace of that Battleground pay-per-view was that match.
Since that match, I can't think of another multi-man match that has had so much hype than the Wyatts versus the Shield. The Shield is the common denominator there, but the Shield didn't make that first match with the Rhodes. The Rhodes, there was a compelling story. Goldust is awesome.
Goldust is great. He's 44, I want to say. 40.
He's doing better than when he was 34.
He's phenomenal. And hey, part of that may be the DDP yoga. He's big into the DDP yoga.
God bless
him. But anyway, so they're relegated to a battle royal, but the tag team title match is on the pre-show. Now, there's a few people on our Facebook group page who think, oh, it's just wrestling fans bitching for no reason. They're on the pay-per-view. It's on the network, so it's all the same. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. There's a perception of being on the pre-show as opposed to being on the main card. And then you think about the international listeners or the international
viewers
who are probably not going to be able to see that match because people outside the U.S., unless you have to jump through hoops. I'm sure you can get the network if you tried. But my understanding is that those people will not be able to see that pre-show match. And that's not fair to them, and that's not fair to the wrestlers. And the people I feel sorry for are Cesaro and the Usos, because the Usos deserve better. And Cesaro, we were here a year ago. We talked about it on this show, episode 268, on WWE.com. They had training videos. Cesaro's in training for WrestleMania. And I think
trained for a meet and greet.
I think I joked, training for what WrestleMania? WrestleMania 30? 31 maybe? And he was the U.S. champion, I believe.
Apparently he wasn't even training for WrestleMania 30.
I believe he was the U.S. champion at that time, which yet another U.S. champion who is just meant to be nothing. So Cesaro didn't even have a match on the show. He was doing meet and greets 2 hours, 3 hours before WrestleMania last year, on the outside looking in. Now he's in a better position than he was a year ago, but now he's relegated to the pre-show.
Two titles are being defended at WrestleMania.
That's right.
Two titles.
That's just how it is. And I still have people who write into me, should they add a TV title? Should they have a six-man tag team title so the Shield can hold them? We don't need more titles. We need, if anything, we need less titles.
Whoever
we do not need more titles.
Whoever suggested that TV title is going to be the WWE Network title.
Well, call it whatever you want to. If it is the network title, I'm sure that that title will also be neglected.
They only defend it on the network.
So what's your prediction for this match? My prediction is the Usos are leaving tag team champions. It's way too early to take the belts off them, so the Usos are my pick.
You know, it's funny. When you go to any WWE event, they show a recap of that prior year's WrestleMania. And you mentioned on the Solid Monster Sounds Off a few weeks ago that they removed CM Punk from said intro or package. They took away the CM Punk thing. They hate CM Punk so much. It's not a work, by the way. So, you know, I was thinking...
We should talk about Punk at some point because there's been a lot of talk about him this weekend.
Yeah, he's hanging out on Bourbon Street drinking some daiquiris.
Sure. We spotted him, man. He was drinking. He was stumbling. I think he had a needle sticking out of his arm. Straight edge my ass.
That's been a work for years. Everyone knows that. On the other shoulder, he has, Bacardi.
A Bacardi tattoo. Yeah. Is that masked by the Pepsi tattoo on
him? He likes his Pepsi and Bacardi.
I see.
No, but, boy, you know...
Johnny Walker.
I just pictured when we saw the, when I was thinking in my mind, boy, the highlights of WrestleMania 30 that hasn't even happened yet, an Uso win, them not having the tag team championships, going in there, an Uso win against the New Age Outlaws. I don't care. I don't see why the Usos would not retain...
Doesn't make sense.
Unless the WWE feels, oh, well, this will be a great way to, you know, build excitement. Build excitement of what, though? Because these are for... This might as well be WrestleMania. This is a closed pre-show. This is a pre-show to people that have already purchased WrestleMania. This might as well be fucking WrestleMania. Why are they calling... Why is this a pre-show anyway?
Right.
The only people that don't get to see this, as far as we know right now, are international viewers... And the people that buy it on traditional pay-per-view. Those are the people that are, you're not allowed to see this. And the irony is, all of the people that are eligible to see this have purchased the network. So, really, you pay $70 for the WrestleMania on traditional pay-per-view, you don't even get the pre-show.
Right.
Unless they show it on the pay-per-view channel before, which I have a feeling they may, especially because of this international
Well, we'll background. See. But and by the way, I want to mention this again. I've said it before. People still asking me, what should I do? Do you think that the stream is going to go out? How is it going to be? If you're watching WrestleMania on the network, tweet me during the show. I'll be there in the arena, but I want to know how the feed is going. I'm very curious to see how this feed is because I've gotten people posting pictures on my Facebook page, fatal error messages when they try to, and this is not even the live stream. People are still having issues, and I don't think it's just Xbox. I think it's across platforms. They claim, hey, the stream's going to be fine. I say it won't be. I say it won't be completely flawless. My advice to you, if you have the money and you want to watch WrestleMania, buy it on traditional pay-per-view and just avoid the stress of the feed going out during the pay-per-view. One of our listeners, Daniel, had an interesting idea. What if they do the split between the real Americans? Because they're still building to that split between Cesaro and Swagger. If they do it at the pay-per-view, which I think they will, I think there'll be something will happen at this pay-per-view that will result in a rift.
At the pay-per-view?
At the pay-per-view.
What do you mean?
Well, something will happen.
At the pre-show.
You know what I mean.
It's not the pay-per-view.
Okay. Semantics here.
All right.
A miscommunication of some kind. Something. I think that there was an angle. Was there an angle on TV last week? Maybe SmackDown or something? Or main event where Zeb Coulter smacked Cesaro and Cesaro sold it like he wanted to kill him, but he didn't. So this is clearly building to something. Daniel suggested that maybe they do the split at the pay-per-view in their match that then leads to a match on the actual pay-per-view later in the night because they only have 7 matches on the card. They could add one more if they wanted to. And that would be a way to get Cesaro on the card. It's an idea. I could see them doing... I'm not saying they will. I could see them doing something like that. They've added matches at the last minute to pay-per-views. At least he would get a pay-per-view slot if they did that. Cesaro versus Swagger.
How long have they had New Orleans planned for WrestleMania?
Oh, well over a year.
I mean...
Well over a year. It's the only thing that they actually have good planning for.
Can't they have the cards?
It's the only commitment they can make long-term is to these cities for WrestleMania every year.
Can't they just have the cards set in and just... And just present the card
as
advertised.
Impossible. Impossible. We have a 30-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I'm actually going to run through every single name here. Except two.
Before you do that.
Now, I've been out of the loop since I've been down here. I have not been following all the news. It's entirely possible they've announced the final two people in the Battle Royal. But the people that I have down here, Big Show.
Go ahead.
Rey Mysterio, Mark Henry, Sheamus, Christian. Big E, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, Alberto Del Rio, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Fandango, Santino, Zack Ryder, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Brodus Clay, R-Truth, Justin Gabriel, Damian Sandow, 3MB, The Great Khali, and Brad Maddox, +2. If he's in it, and he could be one of the mystery spots. Alexander Rusev is my pick for the Battle Royal. NXT's Alexander Rusev, who's been on Raw and SmackDown. He hasn't wrestled yet. He did at the Royal Rumble. And then they pulled him. Another example of great long-term planning there. If he's in it, I think Rusev wins the Battle Royal. He's my pick.
Well, we touched upon this on the Fatal 4-Way, and Cody Rhodes and Goldust have been advocating a match at WrestleMania for 2 years now. At Royal Rumble 2013, we saw those two get it on for a minute. It was hot. It was good. I thought it was great. Cody Rhodes and Goldust, we talked about how awesome they've been as a tag team. So here's my pick. My pick is that it's going to come down to Cody Rhodes and Goldust. And they are going to go toe-to-toe for 15 or 20 minutes. There's your missing time.
I think you're crazy.
Okay.
I think you're crazy. Hey. And actually, I'll do you one better. And I say that if Rusev is not in it,
go ahead,
and Rusev does not win, I'm going to go with Damian Sandow.
Why?
Well, because they said the winner of the Battle Royal is going to get this 5-foot-tall Memorial Andre Trophy.
And now he's going to have to
You drag. Can't have somebody smaller than 5 feet. Rey Mysterio is a little bit taller than 5 feet, but the idea of him carrying a 5-foot trophy around is comical to me. So it's not going to be Rey Mysterio. Is Sin Cara? I don't even know if Sin Cara is in there. He might be. Sandow has been so buried, and I will use the word buried, and this is an overused term, but I will use the word buried. I don't know how else you would describe it. Damian Sandow seems to be the model citizen. Some people would say he's a glorified Lanny Poffo. I think that's an insult. I like Sandow. I like Sandow. He used to have some personality about him. He would come out in the robe. When he was looking for a, it was like a protege, what was the word he used? An apprentice.
An apprentice.
That was awesome. He would have fans or plants, whatever they were, come in the ring, and he would interview them to see if, you know, are you smart enough to be my apprentice? He used to do the cartwheels in the ring. They've stripped him of all of that.
You know where that robe is right now, right?
No.
Sitting in Alberto Del Rio's car that he's not allowed to drive into the arena.
Right, in the WWE warehouse.
With Ricardo Rodriguez in the...
He'll be at the Spanish announce desk on Sunday, I'm sure.
Thank God they found a role for him.
Yes. Well, he's a very good talker.
He is.
But Sandow has been so raped of everything about his character that I find it impossible to believe they don't have some kind of plan for him. It's like when you're about to win a championship, unless you're like a top, top guy.
Beat him every week.
Look at Daniel Bryan when he won Money in the Bank. He won the briefcase. And that shocked a lot of people when that happened a few years ago. He went on a losing streak after that. There were pay-per-views when we interviewed him. He admitted to us they wouldn't even fly him in for some of the shows. People were chanting his name, and he's like, I would have loved to have come out and done a run-in, but I wasn't there. They didn't fly me out. And he was Mr. Money in the Bank. So we've seen this pattern from them before. I would like to think there's some light at the end of the tunnel here. And Sandow's a heel. I could see a heel walking around with that trophy for the next few months, bragging, oh, yeah, I won the Andre Battle Royal. He's my dark horse pick. Rusev is still my pick, but Sandow would be my number two.
Well, this is, you know, then if you look at WrestleMania, I don't know if WWE ever looks at WrestleMania in this way, but, oh, we want a certain amount of heels to win. We want a certain amount of faces to win.
Well, you're going to see in my predictions here, I think this is going to be a big babyface night. So at least Sandow would kind of balance things out, big heel win. But let's move on here.
But I want to just reiterate again, call me crazy, but I'm just saying, would you enjoy that, though, if Goldust and Cody Rhodes were the two... 2-1.
Would I enjoy? Yeah, I would enjoy.
They were left, and they couldn't throw each other out.
I would enjoy it a lot. I would enjoy it a lot because what that does is it gives them, it puts the spotlight on them at WrestleMania.
Right.
It gives them a big WrestleMania moment.
Yes.
And you don't have to split them up. It's not like you had to do this big turn.
Right.
One brother turned on the other, and now they have the obligatory singles match. They're in the same match.
Right.
It happens to come down to the both of them. The competitive juices are flowing. It's a respect thing. They wrestle. They beat the crap out of each other. They're going at it. But in the end, if you want to keep them together, that wouldn't make sense, though, because if they're a team and one guy has the trophy...
You keep on implying that they're required to have this trophy at all times.
That's what they said. Now, look, they could change their minds. We never said that. Who knows? But I'm just saying, that's what my understanding is that person will come out, at least for the first few weeks, with a trophy. Maybe at some point it's like, I don't want to carry this.
Well, maybe
around.
That's when whoever, if that Goldust Cody Rhodes thing that I came up with happens, maybe that's when they start hitting each other with the trophy.
Well, hey, Edge won King of the Ring and Christian hit him with the King of the Ring cup. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that's possible.
There's future resentment. Anyway, that's my pick. That's your pick.
Yes.
We move on.
We move on to the Vicky Guerrero Divas Invitational. Basically, how shall I describe this? We don't have any better ideas, and so therefore we'll just put all the women in this clusterfuck of a match. Is that about right? Okay. AJ Lee has been Divas Champion since, I believe, June of last year. She beat Caitlyn at Payback. Shocked that I remember that. She is defending her title in what is basically a tornado match. They're all going to be in the ring at the same time. It is not single elimination. It's basically a Divas Battle Royal, only pinfalls and submissions. First fall wins. Her opponents. Got to run through this list now. The Bella Twins. Brie and Nikki. The Funkadactyls. Natalia. Eva Marie. Let that sink in for a second. Oksana. Alicia Fox, who I think are being called Foxana now. Is that their name?
I think so.
Summer Rae. Rosa Mendez.
Who?
Exactly. She's got this awful... here on TV.
Marilyn Monroe or
she's
something.
She's got this fucking blonde wig on.
You know what's hilarious?
What the fuck is that?
She looks like she's Marilyn Monroe or ish, and she's Rosa Mendez. I mean, it's just...
Well, maybe if you could take Rosa Mendez's body and Marilyn Monroe's face, that
right.
would be... No offense. I mean, Rosa's attractive, but... Anyway, so she's in the match. Emma, Layla, and Tamina. So I think that's... Is that 13? 13 women, maybe. 13 or 14 total, including AJ. Everyone seems to think AJ's losing. Brie's going to win. Big WrestleMania moment in the end, and they're getting married in a week. Brian wins the title. Brie wins the title. Could happen. I could see Brie winning, and I well, we'll get to you in a second, but I'm picking AJ. I think AJ is leaving the Divas Champion because it's too obvious that she doesn't stand a chance and she's going to lose. And you got all these women, all these moving parts in the ring and total divas and non-total divas. They're all going to beat the crap out of each other. And you're going to have, because it is one fall to a finish, Natalia goes for the sharpshooter. You think the Bella Twins are going to let her, get the tap out? Of course not. One Bella Twin goes for a pin. I guarantee you they have a spot in this match where, let's say, Nikki goes for a pin. Brie drags her off or vice versa. These women, they're women. They're women. Right?
Women get catty.
Women get very catty. That's what Total Divas is based on, all this fake cattiness that they build up for storylines. AJ will sneak out the win. She's my pick.
You know what? Independent of your pick, Salamancer, what is your pick for the Divas stopwatch?
Well, that's an interesting one. You would hope they go past the standard 3 or 4 minutes on TV, although I think on pay-per-views they do give them longer.
Based on your math, if it's 13 divas and each one had 3 minutes each, it's like a third 40-minute match.
You know what? I'm going to actually say it's going to be give or take right around 8 minutes. I predict like about an 8-minute diva stopwatch on the show.
One massive entrance. Are they getting the jobber entrance or are they getting...
No, I think they're getting individual entrances.
Individual entrances.
Individual entrances. Maybe that's why there's only 7 matches on the show. So who's your pick?
I'm going to go with Brie. I'm going to go with storybook ending. Listen, 1 week later, not even 1 week later, Daniel Bryan and Brie are going to get married. They're not getting married with friends and family. They're getting married with the Total Divas cameras and friends and family.
And to that point, many months ago when E! Network released a preview for the new season of Total Divas, they kind of spoiled things. They had a line in there that said something to the effect of, you know, one of the women, you know, realizes her dream and wins the title at WrestleMania or something. So you're probably right. In terms of foreshadowing a title change, I'm going to stick with AJ, but I'm probably wrong. But there is that. So you may be right.
I mean...
But you say Brie.
I say Brie.
Not Nikki.
No, Brie Bella.
Brie Bella.
Daniel Bryan's fiance to soon-to-be wife. They're both, foreshadowing who's going to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. They're both going to have belts.
There you go. We have The Shield in a 6-man tag against Kane and the Middle-Age Outlaws. I'll be nicer to them. Some people call them the old age outlaws. I call them middle age outlaws, even though Billy is 50. Oh, Billy looks good for 50.
He looks great for 50.
Probably should cut the ponytail off.
Hey, he goes out there.
Even Paul Heyman cut his ponytail off.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Ponytail's out. Somebody should tell Michael Hayes. I'm going with The Shield. they could have the heels win to further the split between the Shield. I really hope, because they've got something with this babyface Shield. I mean, they got these new t-shirts. And we saw them at the Superstore, the Hounds of Justice, and they have like another one. They could get 6 months easy out of a babyface Shield running roughshod. All three of those guys are going to be big stars individually. They're still young. You don't have to rush into it. If they do, I don't mind it. You know, Roman Reigns, I guess, is probably their chosen one for the future, which hopefully doesn't mean bad things for Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins has been the star of that group the last month, at least.
MVP.
Exactly. I got confused there. I thought you were talking about the TNA and
Montel Montavious Porter.
I haven't watched, by the way. I don't even know what the hell happened on Impact last night. I didn't read the results. I didn't watch the show. I don't know if I'll even watch the show.
You'll watch the
show. So all the TNA fans out there, you know, again,
we're not covering TNA today.
We are not covering TNA. TNA takes a back seat when we do these shows. But yeah, so all three members of the Shield are going places. It's just a matter of how quickly do you want to pull the trigger and do a split. It seemed like they were building to that right around this time, if not at WrestleMania, the night after. You're going to get that hot crowd, and you figure if it was going to be Rollins and Ambrose turning on Reigns, and Reigns gets this great reaction, I would like to see them stay together for a little bit longer. And if that's the case, there's no reason for the Shield to be losing this match. It would be an atrocity for them to lose to Kane and the New Age Outlaws at WrestleMania. I heard the Outlaws wanted this match. They wanted to work with the Shield. I want to work with the Shield, too. You don't see me getting up in there in that ring. That's another thing. The Outlaws are supposed to get their tag team title rematch, and it's like this whole thing just came out of nowhere. It's almost like this was like a last-minute change. This whole undercard is just so put together at the last minute. There's no outcome here that I want to see other than the Shield winning this match. Anything else is an injustice. Would you agree?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, really,
it's the only outcome that makes sense. And I think they will carry these guys to a good match. Because the Outlaws, especially for their age, they still move around pretty good. Kane, you know, corporate Kane, who looks like your uncle at Thanksgiving after he's had a big meal, is fine.
Right.
He's not the Kane, believe it or not, at one point, Kane used to move pretty quick for a big guy and all that, but he's getting older. I still like Kane, but let's just accept him for what he is here. He's not the most exciting guy to watch in the ring. So I'm sure the Shield are going to have to carry them to some degree in this match. And they need to win. They need a big win at WrestleMania.
That music from the Shield hits, and it is
people
still...
People go crazy.
It is.
They're just, still over.
They're coming through
people
the crowd.
People have not gotten tired of them. They're still over.
It's great. It's great.
But that goes to what can be said for when you actually put your muscle behind guys and you push them and you don't de-push them. You push them and you don't pull the rug out from underneath them and knock them back down a peg or two. These guys have been pushed hard from day one. They went undefeated for a long time. Then they started losing a little too often, but they've always been kept strong. The stuff with the Wyatts, I mean, they get this is awesome chance before they even lock up.
This match should have been the Wyatts versus the Shield.
It would have been nice to see the Shield and the Wyatts at WrestleMania.
That match that took place at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view
was phenomenal.
Was your WrestleMania moment.
It was awesome. It was, and the Raw match they had back in Chicago, I think it was, on the 3rd.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Some people think Eminem will be at WrestleMania. I have heard nothing about this. I do think that Bray Wyatt is being sung to the ring. The person who does his theme music, I think, might be there to perform live. John Cena is probably going to have some kind of marching. But we heard something about a marching band or something.
Yeah, we saw
trumpet
that.
Band. They're in New Orleans. He's going to get a special entrance. He's John Cena.
He didn't last year.
But again, I think they were running low on time.
Yeah, but they didn't have a marching band out there ready to go, and then they said, "Yeah, your guys are cut."
How do you know?
I don't know.
They did that to their own diva performers. They said, "Oh, too bad. We don't have time for your match."
Too bad. So
if
sad.
They had a marching band, who gives a fuck? Kick them out the door. No offense to people in a marching band. John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I have been digging the buildup. I've liked the build to this match. I think Bray Wyatt has a ton of upside. I think Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns are going to be the two guys that lead this company in the future, 5-10 years from now. I've said that before. And I think I would love to see Bray Wyatt win this match. I think John Cena is winning this match. I think John Cena is winning.
Do you think Hulk Hogan will be involved in this match at all?
No.
Not at all?
No. That was a one-night deal. I see no reason. He hasn't been involved since. Why would he be involved in this match?
Do you think Hogan would be involved in any match?
Potentially. If he's involved in any match, I would see it being as part of the main event angle. Mm-hmm. If there's some kind of wacky screw job with Brian and then to kind of get Brian in there, or if Bryan's already in there, but there's a lot of chicanery going on. I could see Hogan or Vince being involved in that. But not here.
Not here.
Not here, no.
I'm going with the Wyatts. I'm going with Bray Wyatt. I think that you can have...
Straight up or with interference?
I mean, you've got the two on the ringside. You've got Eric Rowan. You've got...
Luke Harper.
Luke Harper, thank you. You've got Luke Harper there. Cena can win at Extreme Rules. They can have a rematch.
Bray Wyatt can win at Extreme Rules.
I think Bray Wyatt, you have to plan for the future. I think that John Cena, you know, we talked
about... Of course you have to plan for the future, but this is... look who you're talking about here.
Listen, Fandango
won
last year.
He's John Cena.
Fandango won at WrestleMania last year, and his career has skyrocketed.
How do you think Chris Jericho feels about that, by the way? The way he put Fandango over.
Well, the next night he probably felt real good because Fandango was super over.
Yeah, okay, so for a 24-hour period, he felt good.
He got the rub for...
No wonder Chris Jericho said no when they wanted him at WrestleMania this year. He was like, fuck that shit. I see what you guys did to me last year.
I like the Wyatts winning.
I do too, but I'm not asking you what you like. I'm asking you who you think is going to win.
Bray Wyatt.
You pick Bray Wyatt.
I pick Bray Wyatt to win.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of Raw, I liked John Cena in the ring wearing that sheep's mask.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought that was good.
That was a cool moment. So then we get into the other three main event matches, the three big matches on the pay-per-view. We have The Undertaker, 21-0 at WrestleMania, against the Beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar.
Eat, sleep, break the streak.
Eat, sleep, break the streak.
I paid $25 for my shirt.
I feel like that's been the story of our whole vacation, is eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep so far.
Well, drink.
Eat, sleep, drink?
Eat, sleep, drink.
Eat, drink, sleep.
Or maybe not even eat.
Then drink some more.
Drink, sleep.
Yeah. It's crazy down here. That's all we've been doing is eating.
And we're on Bourbon Street. I mean, everything is at our disposal anytime, at any hour.
We walk out the door. I mean, there are things that are open 24 hours. Places are open until 4 a.m. It's ridiculous.
I have been solicited twice for prostitution.
Hey, I was solicited. I was propositioned by a naked woman wearing blue body paint. And the only reason that I didn't have my photo taken with her is because, I believe it was Noah who pointed out. Was it you?
I wasn't with
you. No, you know what? It wasn't you. That's right. It was Webmaster Mike. Webmaster Mike is here at the house with us, and we were both propositioned by this naked lady in blue body paint, and the only reason that I did not have my photo taken with said woman was because Mike pointed out the unbelievable amount of armpit hair.
Oh!
Which I did not notice.
Oh!
Which I did not know. Maybe she's European. I don't know.
That's vile.
So he saved me from that.
By the way, by New Orleans police standards, she was not naked because she was wearing body paint. She was clothed.
But there were no pasties, though.
That doesn't... Body paint counts. It's fine.
Does it?
You remember Sable when she had handprints on herself?
That's true. And I should know this, too, but they have that mermaid parade in Coney Island. Ugh, talk about the freaks that come out for that. Holy shit. So how did we get onto the subject of naked boobs on Undertaker and Brock Lesnar? What were we talking about?
Eat, sleep,
eat, sleep,
drink.
Boob, right. Okay. I don't even know what's going on here. So,
Brock Lesnar defeats the streak, right?
You have been drinking, I see.
I guess the obviously, Brock Lesnar is not defeating the streak.
No, he is not.
But we talk about what we think will happen.
We talk about the hows. I proposed this idea involving Sting, and I don't know what to think anymore. I know Sting is in town. He's doing a signing, a very rare signing at WrestleCon on Sunday, the afternoon right before. Supposedly, Sting, people have been told, the organizers, whoever, have been told that as soon as he's done, he's not sticking around. Sting is flying back. I guess he lives in Texas now.
Who said that?
I think his management told the people... this is what they're telling them. Look, hey, if he signed to WWE and they were saving him as a surprise, I would tell them to say the same thing. It doesn't mean anything. Do I think Sting will be at WrestleMania? I think there's a good chance he'll be at WrestleMania, and if not, he'll pop up on Raw the next night. I think we know he wants the match with The Undertaker next year. I don't know that Undertaker would have a problem with wrestling Sting. I mean, maybe he'd be a little worried because I wonder if Undertaker does feel more comfortable and is more palatable to wrestling and having more matches, knowing he's in there with a younger guy who can, I hate to say help carry him, but, you know, kind of carry the load maybe, bump around for him. Sting won't be able to do that, but it would still be a big marquee match, I think. And
well, in that case, call Dolph Ziggler for next year.
Undertaker versus Dolph Ziggler will not happen at WrestleMania next year. I predict that's an early WrestleMania 31 prediction for you. But the way that I would see it going down is if they're going to build to Sting and Undertaker next year. If right. That decision has been made, it was part of Sting signing if he has signed. You have to set it up now. Kind of like they did with Roxina a couple years ago. You set it up in advance and you build to it.
And why would they fight?
Well, the reason they would fight is very simple. And I said this on my show a few weeks ago. The story is this. The story is that in interviews, Sting has made it very clear he wants to wrestle The Undertaker. He's been studying tapes. He was on YouTube watching Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. I can't imagine Sting sitting at home watching Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. That would be amazing. The story is this. The story is very simple. He wants to be the one to end the streak. He's got one good match left in him. He's done everything there is to do except sign with WWE.
Right.
And beat the streak. Undertaker, as we've seen, they're incorporating his age for the first time into the storyline. He's getting older, right? That's what they said on TV. Every year could be the year that streak is broken. Well, he's in there with a guy who's younger. He's bigger. Former UFC heavyweight champion. I mean, if you just look at him the wrong way, you're dead. He'll crush you. He can spin your head around like The Exorcist.
Well, The Undertaker's already dead.
This is true. How do you beat something that's already dead? Ah, now we're getting all philosophical here on the sound. This is a heavy discussion that we're having here.
With the voodoo here in New Orleans, we're going crazy.
We do. We have a voodoo doll sitting on the desk right here, don't we?
We do.
We do. Brian Blade, we're sticking pins in it.
Twisting it.
Anyway, the story is this. Sting wants to break the streak. I find it hard. It is wrestling. You suspend your disbelief. It's hard to imagine that Undertaker just cleanly beats Brock Lesnar.
Right.
He's bigger. He's stronger. He's younger.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Great. You have this match where Undertaker won't quit. He gets the tombstone. Brock kicks out. But then Brock takes over, beats the hell out of him. Undertaker won't give up. But he's getting close. He's getting close. All of a sudden, that's when Sting makes his appearance. The problem with this idea, though, is they did not, and I'm surprised they didn't do this, they didn't make the match no disqualification. So you'd have to have some kind of ref bump or something like that, where then afterwards Brock and Heyman can complain.
Or they can make it a no DQ.
At the last minute,
minute.
They've done that before. They've absolutely, they did that at WrestleMania with Steve Austin and The Rock. Some people say that's the best WrestleMania main event of all time. And if I remember correctly, was it on Heat?
I think so.
Actually, you know what? I don't think it was on Heat.
No?
I don't think they announced it at all. I think it was right before the main event started. Howard Finkel made the announcement. And I remember Jim Ross on commentary going, no DQ. Who made that ruling?
No, I
think it literally may have been a last-minute decision. So anyway.
Maybe Howard Finkel made that ruling.
Howard Finkel.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's no disqualification.
He wanted to make that a no DQ match. And he said, maybe that's why they took him off TV.
This is my last WrestleMania.
He's hosting a Legends Roundtable at Access while WrestleMania is going on.
Yeah. Well, actually, Michael Cole, that's tonight.
No, that's true.
Tonight at 10 o'clock, they're doing a live Legends Roundtable on the network. I believe Michael Cole and JBL are going to be part of it or hosting it or something. So there is that little wrinkle. Technically, it's not a no DQ match as of right now. But anyway, Sting gets involved. Baseball bat gets involved.
Right.
As they would say on Seinfeld, yada, 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 Undertaker wins.
Right.
And
because now, Undertaker wins, regardless of what we're saying, the only way that this match ends is a pinfall, right?
Yes.
Brock Lesnar, shoulders, 1, 2, 3.
I believe, look, they both have submission moves, but I do think it will end by pinfall, yes.
Brock's not tapping out.
I hope not.
Has Brock ever tapped out in WWE?
He has not, no.
Okay.
He has not.
So it's going to be a pinfall.
I'm 98% sure it will be a pinfall.
You don't think that they would do a disqualification, would they?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
There will not be a disputed finish. There will not be a draw. There will not be a countout. There will be a winner. It will be Undertaker.
Countout.
Hey, we had a countout in the WrestleMania main event a couple years ago. How much that main event sucked.
Did we?
With Miz and John Cena. It was a countout. They were both counted out. Remember?
Oh, the match was restarted.
Yeah, but still, it was a countout.
It was a countout.
So anyway, that's how I would do it if Sting were going to be involved. I'm not saying for sure he will be, but what I am saying for sure is that the streak goes to 22-0. Would you agree?
No. I mean,
okay.
Please.
You have been drinking. I'm just checking.
21-0 and 0 and 1, where it's a tie?
No. There are no ties in wrestling.
I got you.
Unless it's TNA.
Oh, and by the way, you know, speaking of the streak, I will say that, you know, The Undertaker's Graveyard is back at Access, which I'm very excited about. If you've never been to WWE Access...
Yeah, we're going
to
be checking that out tomorrow, by the way. We haven't gone yet.
The convention center version of Access is way better than what they did last year, which was an arena. I was impressed with how they made use of the space by doing it at the Izod Center, but needless to say, it still was not nearly as good as a full-floor convention center Access, which they have way more enjoyable it has been for me. And they have the Undertaker's graveyard there. And just as a little footnote, I was skeptical. I know you call me crazy. I was skeptical.
Oh, I call you crazy all the time.
At the Undertaker's graveyard, they have a tombstone with the logo of every WrestleMania and the opponent that was killed or, you know, beaten. And, you know, there's three Triple H tombstones. There's two Shawn Michaels tombstones. There's two Kane tombstones. And now there is a CM Punk tombstone, which I will be taking a photo of, me pointing at it. A CM Punk tombstone.
I don't know why you thought that wouldn't be there.
If The Undertaker beat Chris Benoit, would there be a Chris Benoit tombstone at this graveyard?
Yes.
No, there would not.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Maybe not a few years ago. Now he's on the network.
But he's really dead. Not that there aren't other opponents that are really dead. But
yeah, Bossman's no longer
around.
Well,
actually, Big Bossman might still be alive. You know, Ray Trailer or whatever the hell his name is.
I don't think he is.
I'm surprised. I thought for sure they'd like erasing CM Punk.
And let's address that now. I said we were going to bring it up. There's been a ton of rumors this weekend. Oh, Punk's going to come out in the main event and he's going to attack Daniel Bryan.
You know how you know it's a work? Because they have the tombstone.
Or help Daniel, you know, or help Daniel Bryan win. I can't sit here and tell you with 100% certainty that will not happen. It could. Anything could happen. Noah could get drunk and run into the friggin' ring in the middle of the paper. Actually, that would be kind of funny.
Could I cause a DQ during the Undertaker match?
You could. You could influence history. They'd edit you off the network version, though.
That's right.
Yeah, so I wouldn't do that.
Sure.
Could it happen? Sure. Anything can happen. Do I think it's going to happen? Of course not.
Maybe CM Punk will accompany AJ to the match.
Well, look, if he is in town, and apparently he is in town, it wouldn't shock me to see him at the Hall of Fame. It would not shock me to see CM Punk at the Hall of Fame.
That would be a distraction.
I'm sure it would be, but that doesn't mean he won't be there. What, are they not going to let him in?
No, but he'll be backstage with The Undertaker.
Supposedly, he and AJ are now engaged. If you go back and watch Raw Monday Night, there was a ring on her finger. There was somebody who took a picture of her at the airport and claimed he talked to her, and she said she was engaged. So, if they are, in fact, engaged, congrats to the new couple. And I could see him being
They're not
here.
A new couple.
The newly engaged couple.
Okay.
Dick. I could see him being in town to support his fiancée.
Imagine if we did the show with daiquiris. Like if we had daiquiris.
You know what? We should have done that.
We should have done that. We should have done a drunk show.
We should.
You want to do a sound off extra between now and before we're over?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, maybe we'll do a post-WrestleMania.
It's
little 30,
it's possible.
45 minutes with daiquiris. I'm down with that. I'll keep the microphone set up here.
We'll think about it. If enough people want to see it, maybe.
Of course they want to see it.
Triple H, one-on-one, in what some would say is the real main event of this show, aside from what may happen in the title match, Triple H against Daniel Bryan. One-on-one, very first match between the two. That's what I like most about this. I am not a fan of Triple H being in a WrestleMania match. I don't think he has to be. It's not like I have this unbridled passion and dying urge to see Triple H wrestle every year at WrestleMania. Believe me, I would not mind if he took a year off. But what I like about it is it's a unique, fresh match we haven't seen before. And it has been built up for 7, 8, 9 months now. It's not Triple H and The Undertaker, which we've seen before. I would have been totally fine with Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan, it looked like maybe they were going in that direction at one point. And I think the fact that we're not getting that match this year pretty much confirms that Shawn is done. I take him at his word now. If he didn't come back for this show, he's not coming back.
Is Shawn Michaels, just to interrupt for a second, is Shawn Michaels coming out with Triple H in this match? I was fully expecting...
Is he coming out with Triple H? No, no. He'll be at the show. He may even be on the show. I would love for them to do that champions roll call I've pitched before. In this match, no. Not coming out with him. And hopefully... That doesn't mean that he'll interfere. I don't think we need that either. But this is the big match. This is what WrestleMania is all about this year. It's Triple H one-on-one with Daniel Bryan. The winner will go on to the main event to compete against Orton and Batista for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the final, what I hope is the final match on the card. What's your pick? Bryan and Triple H one-on-one. Who goes to the main event?
Daniel Bryan clean. Daniel Bryan clean. Daniel Bryan clean.
My prediction is Daniel Bryan wins. I'm not fully prepared to say that he will win. I hope he wins clean. I could see them doing something where he wins but is so beaten down, or maybe when the match is over, gets a sledgehammer shot to the shoulder, right? So they're playing up the shoulder injury. There's got to be a reason for that. I hope he wins clean. I think he will. I think he will win clean. I still feel Triple H is going to worm his way into the main event somehow, either as a participant, make it a fatal four-way, or as a referee, with the intent to screw over Daniel Bryan, and it ends up backfiring, or Vince comes out, or whatever. But Bryan is going to win this match. Hopefully he wins clean. He has to win clean. The whole point of this story isn't just that he's been screwed out of the title, we want to see him win the championship. He has been screwed over so many times by the Authority that the Authority has to get their comeuppance at some point. I said before, Stephanie should take a bump at some point too. But how does Triple H get his comeuppance? He loses to Daniel Bryan. It's the only way. It's the only way this story can end. So he's my pick. And I would love to see him tap him out in the Yes Lock, but if he hits him with the knee, the dragon knee, as we're calling it on the show, that's fine too, but it has to be clean. And I think it will be.
You know, he's tapped out to... He's tapped out to the best.
Triple H has tapped out to John Cena. He's tapped out to The Undertaker. It's not like he hasn't tapped out before. He's tapped out to Brock Lesnar. That's right. Why not Daniel Bryan? Why not have Bryan tap out Triple H to put, you know, that move over, but then get the pin in the main event with the knee?
I think it's right there.
I think it is too.
I think he got it right there.
So I think we're in agreement.
I think he got it right there.
Well, that leads us then to the main event. Randy Orton, Batista, Daniel Bryan. Triple threat, most likely that will be the match for the WWE Championship. Maybe Triple H worms his way in there, but it doesn't change the fact that at the end of WrestleMania, my prediction, it's the I kind of tipped my cap weeks ago about this. This is not a surprise. WrestleMania ends with Daniel Bryan standing tall, the new WWE Champion, and 75,000 people throwing their hands up in the air, chanting, yes.
It's
maybe even his fiance comes out, joins him on stage. I could see all the babyface wrestlers coming out to give him a standing ovation. Look what happened at WrestleMania 10 20 years ago. Bret Hart got hoisted up on the babyface shoulders.
Who was the Motley Crue, Solomon?
It was Tatanka. It was Lex Luger came out.
He was so happy after losing his match against Yokozuna earlier in the night that he wanted to congratulate Bret.
Oh, yeah. He looked so very happy to be there. He had a look on his face like he did not want to be there.
Who else was there?
Macho Man ran down.
Right.
Macho Man was in the ring. I want to... You know what? Beyond that, I don't really...
Steiners?
1-2-3 Kid, maybe? Steiners, yeah. I believe the Steiners were in there.
And then
no, you know what? I don't believe the Steiners were in there. That, you're thinking of... He's talking about stupid. You're thinking of the Steiners hoisting Lex Luger on their shoulders at SummerSlam when I won by countout because I'm an idiot. I didn't win the championship. Yeah, that was SummerSlam 93. But all these wrestlers came out to hoist Bret Hart up on their shoulders. And there's a lot of parallels there because Bret Hart was the face of that new generation era back in 94. Shawn kind of became that later on, but it was Bret. Bret was the face of that. In a lot of ways, I mean, Bret had already been champion, but Bryan's already been champion. This is not their first time winning the title.
Right.
But that second title win for Bret Hart in 94 was so much bigger than the first one. Main event, WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden, and it represented a changing of the guard back then. It really was that... It started in 92, 93, but that really signaled the changing of the big monsters to guys like Bret and Owen. I mean, Bret and Owen were the headline program for the next 6-8 months in that company.
Speaking of Owen at ringside, right at the entranceway, looking on in disgust as his brother was celebrating. I think that's also part
of
the
iconic moment. And so, hey, I could see something very, whether it's in the ring or on the stage with pyro going off in the background, but I think there's going to be a giant celebration at the end of that pay-per-view.
It'll be a way much more fun ending than last year of this forced Rock Cena stage presentation.
Exactly. I went back and watched that match on the network, by the way, about a week ago. And we were there.
We were
at the first one, which was good. We were at the second one. And I said it on Twitter. I'll say it again here. That match was every bit as dull as I remember it being when we watched it live. And part of that may have been, I think Undertaker Punk was right before that match. And you do run the risk with Undertaker going on in a spot that's not last of kind of killing the crowd a little bit because they get so invested in that match.
That's what Divas matches are for.
But they don't do that a lot. Like, I don't expect the Divas Invitational to be a buffer between the main events. I think they'll just go one main event after the other. Maybe between two of the four they'll have a buffer, but there's also the question of the Triple H Bryan match. Do they go immediately into the main event after that, or do they have their match in the middle and then have Bryan come back out at the end?
Well, I mean, if you want to play, I mean, this is more heavy discussion.
Do you want Bryan to get two entrances or just one?
This is heavier discussion than probably, you know, we would want to go into depth here, but how do you program WrestleMania? You know, there's a part where the Hall of Fame inductees will come out. There's a Hogan bit somewhere in there. Hogan's going to be involved. If he's not involved in the main event, he's going to come out and do something with somebody.
And it's confirmed now that Stone Cold Steve Austin will have a role at WrestleMania 30. And it's brilliant that they waited until the Thursday before. I think he leaked it to TMZ to announce that Stone Cold would be on the pay-per-view. I don't know why you
did
would
you
wait.
Did you read the quote?
I did not.
I don't know if he's on the pay-per-view. Everyone is crowing that he's on the pay-per-view.
My understanding is that he is confirmed to have a role on the pay-per-view.
His quote was, you'll have to tune in to see what happens.
But then WWE officially put a press release out.
Oh, did they?
I believe they did.
Oh, that I didn't see.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, if they put out a press release, then that's
And I expected him to be there when I found out he was going to be at the Hall of Fame. There's no reason to have Steve Austin in town for the Hall of Fame and not have him on the WrestleMania Big 30th pay-per-view.
So what is he doing? He's driving his ATV out there?
I don't know. He did that at 25. I think it's safe to say somebody will eat a stunner. I don't know who that would be. They already did a Piper's Pit with him many years ago, WrestleMania 21, so it's kind of been there, done that. I don't know. I don't know what role he filled. I'm happy he'll be there. I want to hear that music shatter. I'm looking forward to seeing Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan on the same show more for the music than anything else. So yeah, he'll be there, just as an FYI. But to go back to the triple threat, Orton, Batista, Bryan. Bryan wins, big celebration, big satisfying moment at the end of the pay-per-view.
Right.
Do you see it the same way?
Yeah.
Do you see them swerving the fans? Do you see Batista leaving with the title after big... do you see Punk coming out like a lot of people seem to think Punk's going to come out?
CM Punk's not coming out.
Okay.
I kind of wonder if... I think all the things that we talk about, we wouldn't put it past WWE doing maybe save Punk, but, you know, them announcing somebody else's champion and then Hogan comes in and has to correct it. You know, Batista gets announced as the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Maybe there's some sort of chicane. You mentioned it before. There could be some chicanery where it's not. There's a bizarre finish. He gets screwed again, and they just want to troll the audience just a little bit.
But you know what? They did that with Rock and Punk at the Royal Rumble last year. Punk pinned The Rock.
Right.
He pinned him.
Yes. I was there.
And The Rock is outside. Vince McMahon comes out. And then The Rock apparently has the power to book his own matches now. And he's an authority figure as well in WWE.
You're not taking it away from him. I am.
And then he just rings the bell. The match continued and he won the belt. And people went crazy and that's all fine and good. The Rock and Daniel Bryan are not the same. The Rock can get away with that. A lot of people are not. John Cena is not quite on The Rock's level. Okay, Daniel Bryan certainly is not at that level. Okay, even I'm not so blind to think that. He needs all the help he can get to boost his credibility.
Right.
Okay? And he's been through so much. His character has been through so much crap. You can't have a disputed finish like that.
By the way, every time you say the word character, Brian Blade loses a wing.
Well, he's not here right now, so. I don't think he'll mind me put a pin in him right now. He needs all the help he can get. I think the only way to do that, he has to win convincingly. He can't win, the only reason he won is because Hulk Hogan saved Daniel. I don't want Hulk Hogan to save Daniel. I don't even want Vince McMahon to save Daniel Bryan.
You want Daniel Bryan.
I want Daniel Bryan. I want him to save his own ass.
All right.
That's what I want.
Okay.
So I think we're in agreement on that.
That's what I want, for sure.
All right. Then we are in agreement.
That's what I'm hoping for, and that's what I want.
So with that, let's get into the mailbag. If you have questions, as always, you can email them to me, thesolemonster@gmail.com. I know a lot of you have been emailing me this week. I have not responded. It's kind of hard for me to do that when I am on the road and I am not logged in. I have, multiple email accounts and I'm not always logged into that one. But please, I read everything. And if I don't use your question this week, I probably will try to do so next week. Please include your name and where you are from when you write in. And you could also send audio questions in MP3 format. Try to keep them brief, 30 seconds or so if you can. We actually got three different audio questions this week, and we are going to get to all three of them here. So we're going to throw it to the first one. This first audio question comes to us from Incubus.
Incubus?
That's what he calls himself, Incubus. That's his alias.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, Solomonster, Incubus here. So TNA was called out for their overuse of the cage match, namely Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode, with Lockdown so close. Fair enough. That stipulation should be kept fresh. So why does WWE get a pass for a Battle Royal just 60 days and two pay-per-views after Royal Rumble? Is it excusable because they slapped Andre the Giant's name on it? I realize the difference between an over-the-top rope versus a ladder match, but this battle royal is a poor man's Money in the Bank. It's just a mid-card attraction with no story and even lesser stakes. I mean, they put people into the match just to find ways to pull them out. I mean, what is this, jury duty?
Wow. Very passionate, Incubus.
He's got material.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. I mean, they're doing another 30-man battle royal.
The Royal Rumble and a battle royal are two separate things.
No, but still, 30 men. I know why they're doing it. They want to get as many people on the card as possible.
Not on the card? Who missed the cut? Independent of that pre-show match, but who missed the cut?
I mean, other than guys like JTG and Yoshitatsu,
right.
I'd have to look at the roster.
Who's the losers of all losers this year?
I think most of the guys.
Zack Ryder made it to the cut.
He did. Zack Ryder did make it to the cut. Sin Cara. I don't know if Sin Cara's in that battle royal. I didn't see him on the. Did I mention his name?
Hunico Kara. You didn't mention him. I don't think you had him on the list, but you did say afterwards maybe he's on.
No, well, if I didn't, I don't have him on the list actually. So unless he's one of those last two spots that they filled, then he's not on the card.
Yeah.
So there you go. He's off with Scooby Doo doing stuff. Look, TNA gets beat up on by a lot of people. A lot of times it is unfair. A lot of times it's justified. TNA overdoes it with a lot of matches. They'll have a lockdown pay per view, but they'll have a gazillion cage matches on free TV. WWE does the same thing. You know, and they get flack for it from me, and I give TNA flack for what they do too, because TNA does a lot of stupid shit, and they deserve to get called out on the carpet. I know TNA is not your biggest subject, Noah.
I've never watched TNA in my life. The only TNA that I know is what you say here on the Sound Off each week, which I do listen to.
I know you do.
I do.
Yeah,
but I listen to. I actually listen to the TNA portion also.
But just to go back to what Incubus said, you know, why are they? Why because they get a pass because it's the 30th anniversary, or because it's, you know, Andre's name is slapped on it? The answer is yeah, that's why. They're trying to make the match feel special by making it a memorial battle. I don't know if this is going to be an annual thing or not. So they're trying to make it feel special. It's not just a battle royal. It's the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, and I can appreciate the fact that they're trying to make it special. That's all we could ask for, right?
Well, you know, Hulk Hogan came up with this idea.
Of course he did. Just like Eric Bischoff invented the Elimination Chamber concept, right?
Exactly.
Of course.
What did you think of the Rowdy Piper, the Piper's Pit segment on Raw?
I wasn't a big fan of it. I think Piper has had better nights, and I just think they wasted a Piper's Pit on a meaningless segment on the show with a bunch of mid-card guys running out there. It almost made Piper look like a joke, in a way. I mean, Piper could go off the rails if you've heard him speak in interviews. He's not all there. But I still feel like there was an opportunity, maybe not on Raw, but even at WrestleMania, for them to do a Piper's Pit segment with Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
Or get big names involved. Because Piper's still a big name.
Sure.
So I wasn't a big fan of it. This next audio question comes to us from one James Alexander.
It's your boy James Alexander here with a audio question of the difficult variety. I've never heard anyone ask this question, but in the tail end of Shawn Michaels' first WWF Championship run, the month after that classic match with Mankind at the Mind Games In Your House pay-per-view, the following month, In Your House Buried Alive, Shawn Michaels did not have a match on the show, but wrestled Goldust in a dark match. What gives?
I remember this. It was the whole pay-per-view was built around the whole Buried Alive concept, Undertaker and Mankind. That was the match. And remember, back then, the In Your House pay-per-views were only 2 hours. I mean, everything now is 3 hours.
And they were $14.95.
Initially they were. Then they bumped it up, I think, a little bit, maybe $19.95.
Oh, okay.
I think after a while. But as far as I know, there was no reason. He wasn't hurt. And the whole pay-per-view was built around Taker and Mankind, to the point where I remember on Raw in the weeks leading up to that pay-per-view, they had a mock tombstone. They had a gravestone with Undertaker and Mankind's image on it in the middle of the aisle.
That's right.
So when guys would come out, they'd actually have to walk around it. So that really is what that whole pay-per-view was about. And they had that as the main event. They had a number one contenders match with Psycho Sid and Vader to determine who would wrestle Shawn at Survivor Series in the Garden for the championship. Shawn was on the pay-per-view. He was at ringside doing commentary for that match. He had no feud at the time. There was no program. He finished up with Mankind. That was done. And his next thing was going to be whoever he defended against at Survivor Series. So I think that, coupled with the fact that it was a two-hour show that already had two marquee matches on it, you didn't need Shawn to defend the title. I don't even think you need a champion now defending on every single pay-per-view. It would be nice if they skip shows here and there.
Well, they're skipping WrestleMania, so you'll be happy to know that.
Well, other than that, though. I'm not talking about Intercontinental.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking about World.
Right.
Back when they had one World title, remember that?
Now they have one World title again.
Randy Orton still walks out with two belts.
And they're going to give...
I'm thinking after... Maybe not the... I don't know if the night after, but I think that's coming to an end after WrestleMania.
Right.
And I think we're going to get the new logo on the belt.
I mean, can you imagine Daniel Bryan trying to do the yes with holding the two belts?
No, I can't. And you know what? If I was a champion, it would be a pain in the ass to carry those two things around. I think.
He's got to have one belt on his waist while he does his yeses.
We have a third audio question. We're going to save that, actually, for last. We have one more regular question, okay. I guess we'll get to first.
Not audio.
This is Mike from Long Island, Strong Island, as some people might call it. I've heard your dislike for The Miz, but I personally think he is a WWE Hall of Famer. He's won multiple titles, starred in a few films, and although it is annoying that he constantly says it, he has main evented WrestleMania. Well, so did Bam Bam Bigelow, and he's not in the Hall of Fame either. He says, I feel if The Miz goes in, then Kofi Kingston has to go in as well. What are your thoughts on this? I thought this would be a good subject for debate here.
Wow.
If you go by the standards of today,
right,
then yes, The Miz is a Hall of Famer.
He's eligible.
But then so is Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger is a former World Heavyweight Champion. He's a Money in the Bank winner. He's an Elimination Chamber winner.
It's funny for you to go through all these accolades because...
But that's the point.
He's Jack fucking Swagger.
How ridiculous is it that these guys... They win titles like they're candy, like it's from a fucking Pez dispenser. You push a button, you get a belt. It's not how it's supposed to work. Where did things change? Like, how did this go so wrong?
Ever since David Arquette was the WCW champion, I think that's when championship titles jumped the shark.
If you put Miz in, you got to put Swagger in. You got to put a bunch of other guys in who I don't view on a Hall of Fame level. Personally, is Miz a Hall of Famer? Hell no. No, he's not.
No.
5 years from now? Talk to me then. Maybe I have a change of heart. Maybe they get back to pushing him like he actually means something.
Is Daniel Bryan a Hall of Famer right now?
No.
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 He's not.
He's not a Hall of Famer right now. In my book.
Right now.
They would put him in. He's a big enough star to them where he'll have marquee value going in 10 years from now, I think. But
yeah, but his body of work is not complete yet.
No. But that's why I said, The Miz, talk to me in 5 years.
Right.
The Miz has been around a lot longer than Daniel Bryan, but The Miz is still a young guy.
Right.
If they don't cut him, if they actually do something with him, he can end up having a very strong career.
Right.
And they put guys in the Hall of Fame that you could say don't belong there.
Who doesn't belong there?
I wouldn't put Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame, personally. I don't think Coco Beware is a Hall of Famer.
You're racist.
I don't think Nikolai Volkoff is a Hall of Famer.
You're a racist.
Against Russians?
And Coco Beware.
Okay. So then I'm
Come on, give us another nationality or race that you hate.
Antonio Inoki. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
James Dudley, who I think was Vince Sr.'s limo driver, is in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there are plenty of people, if we made a list, who do not belong, in my opinion, in the Hall of Fame.
Drew Carey.
There are celebrities who I think deserve a spot. I think Mr. T going in this year is very well deserved.
Pete Rose deserved.
No, he didn't.
He was at 3 WrestleManias.
So what?
He took a tour.
He wasn't a selling point. Mike Tyson was a selling point. Mr. T was a selling point.
I went to WrestleMania 14 and 15.
You could say...
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
That Mr. T and Mike Tyson, okay, two black dudes saved that company. Because without Mr. T, that first WrestleMania would have been a failure.
All right.
If that WrestleMania is a failure, we're not sitting here doing this right now.
All right.
And Mike Tyson, hey, they were in rough shape in 98. That meant a lot, having him on that pay-per-view. And they did it the right way, too, because they had him endorse Austin, who was their star on the way up. Mr. T came in. Who did he endorse? He was right there. He gave Hulk Hogan a huge rub. He brought Hulk Hogan with him on Saturday Night Live and all Richard Belzer, which didn't work out too well, but all of these different shows, okay? He gave Hogan the rub and made Hogan that much of a bigger star in the mainstream. So I have no problem with them using celebrities if they use them the right way. So when they bring in a guy like Drew Carey or WCW brought in David Arquette, Jay Leno. What the fuck does that mean? Who is that helping other than themselves?
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are deserving celebrity inductees. Drew Carey is not one of them. It's a poor example. But that's my thoughts on it. Is Miz a Hall of Famer? No.
No.
But it depends by what standards you're going by. By the standards of today, everybody's a fucking Hall of Famer. Zack Ryder got very popular on YouTube and he became U.S. champion. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
He was also the internet champion.
Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Of course not.
Absolutely.
Of course not.
No way.
You would have to be smoking the ganja stuff at the mother-in-law lounge where we were seeing a jazz show last night here in New Orleans to actually think that. So that's my answer.
By the way, if you're ever considering coming to New Orleans, and we've only been here 2 days. Well, you've been here 3, but I wholeheartedly recommend New Orleans.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic.
You get a little bit of everything in terms of food, in terms of alcohol, obviously.
Right.
But just in terms of the culture also. You know, riding to our hotel that first night before we came here to the house, I don't even know what part of... we were like on the outskirts of New Orleans. I think it was some place that started with a G. But it was more of a residential... I don't know what it was. But it was more of a residential area.
Right.
But like the architecture and the house, really, really nice stuff.
There's history.
There's a lot of history here. And we're not in the area that was really affected hard by Katrina. That was the Lower Ninth Ward. So as a matter of fact, where we are, we're literally on Bourbon Street right in the French Quarter. And we were talking to a cab driver about this last night. The area that we're in right now went unscathed, but just to our north and just to our south, they were washed out. Like this area here where we are right now was spared when that hurricane hit.
By the way, that wasn't a cab driver. That was our friend.
He was driving us. He would be very offended if he heard me refer to him as a cab driver.
That gypsy drove us home.
A friend. I just met him for the first time last night.
Well, he's a friend.
He's an acquaintance.
Okay.
Very nice guy, though.
Is he Hall of Fame worthy?
By WWE standards, he probably would be. What the fuck is...
I miss you, Jason. For those of you who don't know, I called you the J word.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know, Solomonster and I used to do SC Scoops Live on blogtalkradio.com. We used to do a lot. This was back when more people liked wrestling, I think. It was pretty popular then, right? More popular than that.
Well, I don't know, actually. 2008, wrestling was already kind of on the downswing.
But we would, after Raw, when it was 2 hours, we would do an hour live.
We would.
Can't believe we did that.
It was very time consuming, and Blog Talk was not always very cooperative with us. We had a lot of issues, but it was fun when we did it.
Yeah, we took calls.
Yeah,
and
it was fun.
And we did that for a year.
When we didn't have technical difficulties, it was fun.
There were technical
difficulties. We did a few more shows over time, though, here and there.
Yeah.
Final audio question.
So I miss
this
you.
Is a
I miss you, by the way.
I miss you too, buddy.
Thank you.
You want to hug it out?
Hug it out, bitch.
You want to hug it out?
Right now?
Yeah, sure.
Let's hug it out.
Okay.
Right. No, I don't want to get out.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
We have one last audio question here. This is a non-wrestling question.
I'll let you buy me a daiquiri.
And this comes from... We'll talk.
All right.
This comes from a very young fan. I think he's 15 years old.
All right.
He had a non-wrestling question. And his name is Nate from Minnesota. So let's go to his question right now.
Hello, Solomon Monster, Brian Blade, Noah Mark. It's Nate from Hutchinson, Minnesota. Today I'm going to ask you about zombies on this WrestleMania weekend. Do you like... the fast zombies from World War Z or the slow zombies from The Walking Dead?
That's a great question.
Zombie talk. What did you think of The Walking Dead season finale?
Season finale or season 4, which is the most recent season?
Okay.
Well, I'll give you my thoughts. I was a fan of the whole season.
Okay.
I know a lot of people were very disappointed.
This was character development season.
And part of it may have been that it had a new showrunner. They go through a lot of showrunners on this show, and that's... It's kind of troubling because that's usually not a good sign. But the show's kicking ass. I mean, they're setting ratings records every week. And I never read the comics.
Doesn't the talk show after The Walking Dead, which is called The Talking Dead, get more ratings than Monday Night Raw?
Every single week. And I want you to know, the season finale of Talking Dead, the show that comes after the show, okay, where they talk about what we just saw, it's 7.3 million viewers. Vince McMahon would give his left nut to get 7.3 million viewers for Raw.
You're on here shilling Audible, and you're fighting for the audience watching wrestling. We need to do a Walking Dead podcast.
I could do a whole podcast on Walking Dead. If somebody wants to pay to be my sponsor, I'll be more than happy to do that.
Oh, man.
I love season 4, and I love the finale. I thought it was great. I am a fan of character development. As you could tell, if you listen to this podcast, I complain that we don't get enough of it on wrestling TV.
Right.
I mean, if WWE were a scripted drama on AMC, it would have been canceled half a season into its first season. with these writers. We need to get the Walking Dead writers to write Raw.
Might not be bad.
That's what we need.
You know, the zombie on ECW was ahead of its time.
I interviewed him. He was my first interview. Why do you think that was?
Yeah.
Tim Morrison. He was great. But, so I'm a big fan of character development. They did those two. They dedicated two whole episodes to nothing but the Governor character. The first, and I love the Governor character. So the first half of that fourth season, they had two whole
episodes. I forget that that's part of this season.
And people were like, well, they split it up, that's right. why. But people were like, oh, God, where's Rick? Where's everybody else? So it's all about the Governor. And I'm like, just shut up and enjoy it, man, because this is awesome here.
Right.
The story, like, there's a point to why they do it. It's, sometimes you watch it, like, why are we seeing this? Why are we seeing flashbacks? But there's usually a reason for it.
And not to alienate wrestling fans by going on a tangent on The Walking Dead, but let's bring it to wrestling. Here you have the most successful show on cable TV, I believe that's what it is, drama.
Absolutely.
And you have the main character, Rick, not appearing on two or even three episodes in a row.
Well, there were episodes more recently where I think there was either three or four in a row where his character didn't appear.
Not on there.
No, not at all.
What's the problem with shelving John Cena or shelving these guys on a Monday Night Raw is what I'm trying to say. There's no problem. I'm saying that it freshens up your desire to see them.
But the difference here is that The Walking Dead can do that and still get 12 million viewers.
Right.
And what WWE, I assume, is worried about, and the numbers have bared this out, is that when John Cena, let's say, is not on the show at all for a week, there's a dip.
Okay.
And that's very important to them because they've got this new TV deal that if it isn't signed already, they're going to sign very soon, and that's going to determine the fate of their company going forward. Because if they can get hundreds of millions of dollars more from a network, if their own network, let's say, doesn't do as well, they can offset those losses by all the TV money. Right. So there are extenuating circumstances why John Cena can't be taken off TV.
So they got to come guns
a-blazing. They should be to freshen him up, give him some time off.
So they got to come guns a-blazing.
Absolutely.
All right.
So anyway, to Nate's question, we completely neglected his question. World War Z, was that a movie?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Tom Cruise, right?
No.
No, that was War of the Worlds.
No.
What was World War Z?
I can look it up.
No, it's not worth it.
I guess it's safe to say that we only watch The Walking Dead zombies. So
I'm going to go with The Walking Dead.
By proxy.
I'm going to go with The Walking Dead because I am a big fan of that show.
Although could say the ECW zombie is your favorite zombie.
He is my second favorite zombie. Uh-huh. How about that? There is one. I actually completely missed. There was one more question from the listener. I'll get to that now. This comes from Sachin from Nepal.
Okay.
All the way from Nepal. Very he listens nice. To this show. Last year, WWE was heavily pushing Tout. And now it's hardly ever mentioned on TV. Who did Tout piss off backstage? Simple answer is Twitter. That son of a bitch is always holding people down. Twitter got pissed off.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
They really don't push Tout anymore, do they? They have like a 5% stake in it or 15% stake in that company or something.
Well, you know what? Twitter came out with a better version of Tout.
But there was like
Vine.
Yeah, well, there was Vine. There's like Instagram, too. Instagram has video as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looping video. And
that's right.
Well, the Instagram video I don't think is looping, but yeah, Vine is looping, and yeah, Vine is a Twitter product, and Tout is rarely heard.
Before we wrap it up here, this week in wrestling history.
Oh wow! Now is this segment coming to an end at some point? Because we're almost a year in from you doing This Week in Wrestling History.
Unfortunately, I'm going to probably have to end the history segment as it is now. I think in June, the end of June is when it comes to because. You know, when you get to a year, I'm going to start repeating events.
Right.
And I don't want to do that. So
you can tell it to me again. I don't care.
I could. That's true. and a lot of people love this segment, so I'm hoping I'm going to try to come up with something a little bit different that maybe focuses on history, but maybe one event or a person or something. I'll come up with something.
A match.
And if you have a suggestion, feel free to email me and recommend something. But yeah, we still have a few more months of This Week in History. But given that it is WrestleMania season, there's a lot of stuff that happened, so we'll just really quickly. The first WrestleMania, 29 years ago this week, March 31, 1985. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff, who apparently still does not like Hulk Hogan.
He's got a bugaboo.
He's not the only one.
That's true.
Some big WrestleMania matches happened this week in history. 24 years ago this week, April 1st, 1990, WrestleMania 6, Sky Dome in Toronto, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. That was a big match. That was a big match. If you were a young Hogan fan or a young Warrior fan, Webmaster Mike, he's in the other room. He's like a dog. We've kind of locked him in a room right now so he doesn't
I saw him poke his head in.
Yeah,
for a minute.
He might pee on the floor. Hopefully everything's okay in there. He was a big, still is a big Ultimate Warrior mark. He big Ultimate Warrior fan.
Huge.
I was a Hogan mark when I was a kid, and you're Noah mark.
You know, if you, you know, of course, I know you talked a few weeks ago about how WWE used to shoot practically every Madison Square Garden house show for the MSG network, and I would love to see that on the WWE network. But I will say that if they do get around to putting those programs unedited in the WWE network, when they eventually put Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter in a Desert Storm match, I will...
They went all on the house show loop with that. It wasn't just like a Madison Square Garden.
Understood. But what I'm saying is when they showed that footage, I will...
They have before. You didn't have Classics on Demand when they had that service. They did air that.
Follow me for a second. If they show the unedited program,
sure.
Because they cut off, I've seen the online version.
Okay.
They've cut off my appearance on this broadcast.
I knew that that's where this was going. It's all about you.
If you look at the Desert Storm match, if they ever air it,
you were also with the first Monday Night Raw, weren't you?
I was. But if you look at this Desert Storm match, I will point out to you a young Noah Mark with father hugging me, hugging my Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy at the event.
Are you going to pay $200 to go see him at Access tomorrow?
I am not. I met him for free at a Walmart signing for his book. It's amazing to me. I don't fault WWE for doing this, but it's funny that, you know, the markup on meeting a superstar this week compared to when it's sometimes free or sometimes the cost of a fan fest or a Comic-Con. It's interesting.
I know why they do it.
Because people will pay for it.
They clean up.
Right.
We were going to the Superstore yesterday, and what did we see? Walking in the opposite direction towards us were tons of people with WrestleMania shopping bags.
Right.
So they're going to make a killing this weekend.
Sure.
But I still remember that first fan festival at Madison Square Garden in 1994. You paid one price for your ticket to get in. And guys were literally just standing around. I mean, some guys were sitting and you had to wait in line, but there were guys standing around. I got Shawn Michaels autographed, Tatanka, Bam Bam, Lou Albano, and Fred Blassie.
Photo of you and Vince?
Me and Vince McMahon. Yeah. I'm looking in the opposite direction. You can find that on my Facebook page. But now it's $50 for a basic ticket to get in.
Right.
And then you got to pay, I mean, I think Hogan, it's literally like
$200.
$200.
That's right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
A lot of people.
A lot of crazy people. That's who.
A lot of people.
Crazy Hulk Hogan fans, I guess.
There's nobody that you would meet for a price.
Not for that price. For a price? I would pay to a point. I don't know what that magic number is.
We paid $20 for Bobby the Brain Heenan 2 years ago.
I did.
But you also got the book, I think, right?
No.
No?
No, I did not.
You just paid $20?
I just paid $20 to meet him, shake his hand, take a picture. I'm not big into autographs. Like, if me,
right.
I like to get a photo.
Of
with,
course.
With, if somebody is that special of a person.
Right.
And Bobby Heenan is one of my all-time favorites. You know, best manager of all. And it is sad to see him in that state, but that was a thrill for me to meet him.
What if I told you at, like, this is more susceptible at a Comic-Con, but what if I told you that you pay that money and you might get 5 minutes with him?
For what?
Talk.
Just to chat and shoot the shit?
Yeah. I mean, because at WrestleCon, some of those guys, that's possible based on what we saw. Not the big guys.
Sure.
For say,
and we might, and
we
that's
had a conversation
thing,
with
that's
Bobby
another
Heenan.
Thing we might want to check out after tomorrow is WrestleCon. We'll see if we can find time for that. But look, everyone, what does DiBiase say? Everybody has a price? that's just way, way.
But some people, especially for our international fans, this is their moment. This is their chance.
Those
to
people
see
are
it
already
it.
Spending a lot of money to fly here.
Yeah.
They're big time hardcore fans.
And they have a holiday budget.
And that's fine. I'm not making fun of them for it. No. I'm just saying I cannot justify with the money we've already spent. Spending that kind of money just to meet one person.
No, if you looked up to them all your life and you've seen them. And
well, yeah, like I said, I did that with Heenan, but 20 compared to 190,
well,
I mean, that's a
of
big
course.
Difference.
Of course.
13 years ago this week, April 1st, 2001, Houston Astrodome, WrestleMania 17.
Now, what was the attendance record for that?
The attendance record for WrestleMania 17... was 67,963.
You didn't have to give me the exact figure, but
it was 67,000 and change. I remember that because WrestleMania 18, they said it was 68,000.
Okay,
so yes,
and Now, I'm sticking to the Royal Rumble, but they were the Royal Rumble. They were trying to paper that same building, right? That was the same venue. That was the
No. The Royal Rumble in '97 was at the Alamo Dome.
Oh, the Alamo
in San Antonio, which for weeks on TV they were, and even Shawn on promos, we're going to get 71,000 people in that building when I beat Sid to get my belt back. Right. And I remember reading, because they even had newsletters back then. And I remember reading they
literally mailed to you.
Mailed to me, but they also had email.
Stapled?
Emailed to you. Emailed at that point. I'm not talking about the Observer. I'm talking about something else.
Okay.
They used to have a guy called the Slammer, whose real name is Peter Scaretta, who now, I don't know if he runs it. There's a movie website called Slash Film. Uh-huh. Have you heard of them?
I don't think
They're so. Pretty big. Uh-huh. But he may still be a wrestling fan. I don't know. But he was a huge wrestling fan, and he ran a newsletter called... I don't know if it was called Matt Rap, or maybe it was just The Slammer. And I used to subscribe. And I always used to curse him, because there was one story. This was back during like the NWO era. And he would always come up with these really catchy headlines. And the headline for one issue was Hulk Hogan Retires. And I'm like, whoa, holy shit, are you serious? And I click and I open the email. And the lead story was... Hulk Hogan was spotted on the side of the road helping an old lady retire her car today. You son of a bitch. So yeah, I used to subscribe to that stuff. And there were a lot of stories about they had a lot of trouble selling tickets. But in that market, it's, I guess, a heavily Hispanic market.
Right.
And they had AAA guys. It was actually interpromotional. So they had a lot of the Mexican wrestlers on that show. And I don't know if it's the same way today, but I guess traditionally with Lucha Libre, there's huge walk-up. You don't sell out in advance. You don't sell a shitload of tickets in advance. But that day, you can have a walk-up of 20 or 30,000.
Wow.
And I think that's what they had for the Rumble. So they legit had 60,000 people in that building.
Okay, but that was the Rumble. That was not WrestleMania.
That was in 97 for the Rumble, yeah.
Okay, and the WrestleMania was in Houston.
WrestleMania was in Houston. And a lot of people would say the best WrestleMania top to bottom, strongest card of all time. And it's hard to argue that. You had Austin Rock in the main event, their second match. You had Undertaker Triple H, which I thought was actually a really good match. You had Vince and Shane, one of the better Vince matches that we've ever seen, with a great moment. Great moment. Linda was like in this catatonic state. She was all drugged up for weeks in a wheelchair as Vince would like make out in front of her with Trish Stratus.
I love it was perfectly blocked, or whatever you want to call it, where you've got Linda on the SmackDown ramp. And you've got in between her, somehow Vince and Trish are perfectly aligned where they are making out with her in between them.
Yes, yes.
Ugh, that was great.
So when Linda rose from her chair.
Catatonic state, right.
You've never heard a crab react that way. And then Mick Foley was like the referee and he beat up Vince. So we had that. We had Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, their first match on pay-per-view. We had TLC 2, which I think was the best of the bunch. Edge and Christian, the Hardys and the Dudleys.
With Edge and Christian retaining, right?
Edge and Christian, I think, won all of them, I think.
They always won.
They always won.
Always retained, too. Not even... Yes. Never...
They won at 16, and I think they retained at 17.
Oh, they won the belts at 16?
Yes, they won them at... Because the Dudleys were the champions.
I gotcha.
And so anyway, we had that. I mean, there were so many great matches on that show. They had the gimmick Battle Royal... Which wasn't meant to be like a great 5-star match, but I love seeing like you had Brother Love was in the match, Earthquake was in the match, Tugboat was in the. It was ridiculous.
Why was the Iron Sheik was such a gimmick that he won that thing?
You know what? There were some suspect characters. Like some of them made me go like, that's not a gimmick. Like,
right.
But anyway, like Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Don't forget about that. Who was commentating that? And that's probably the last time we heard Bobby.
That was
Brain
the final match that Bobby Heenan ever commentated for WWE. It was him and Mean Gene, who did a little bit of commentating, but that's not really what he was known for. But yeah, no, Bobby Heenan got the full entrance to his old music.
Boy, yeah. can you imagine how great Bobby Heenan would be right now if he had the ability to speak?
If WWE had Bobby Heenan, or had a Bobby Heenan clone today,
right.
And they actually used him like they used Bobby Heenan back in the day, you'd have no less than 20 to 25 guys... over who are not over right now. Because at one point, his Heenan family, it was crazy. Like, they had him manage everybody. That's how good he was.
Right.
He managed Andre, who didn't need a manager, but he probably needed a mouthpiece because he could be hard to understand. Bundy, Stud, Rude, Hercules, the Islanders.
Didn't he say he ran? He needed new pairs of shoes for WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect. I mean, it was just Ric Flair up and down, just ran the gamut. So it was good to see him there too. So yeah, probably was top to bottom the best WrestleMania card of all time. Although Austin Rock was not the best main event. And finally, 2 years ago this week, on April 1st, 2012, WrestleMania 28, Sun Life Stadium in Miami.
Your first WrestleMania,
my first live wrestle. Can you believe it's been 2 years since that show?
I can't believe that it took you that long to go to WrestleMania.
Can you believe it's been 2 years since we did all those interviews?
Yeah, that was an experience to be had. You know, it's easy for us to say we would never pay to meet all these superstars, but then again,
But you can listen. You go back and you listen to that Daniel Bryan interview that we did. It's up on our YouTube channel right now. We talked to Cena. We talked to Rock at the press conference. I mean, it was really a special experience, and that was also once in a lifetime. Before it became twice in a lifetime last year, John Cena and The Rock, which probably was the closest thing to a Hogan Warrior type match in terms of this generation,
or Hogan Andre.
Yeah, probably the closest thing in terms of having those two big iconic stars one-on-one. It wasn't even for a title. It was just a special attraction match.
You know, we had a discussion the other day about, you know, who's a household name now in wrestling? If you ask people on the street that don't follow wrestling, who is a household name? And I'm telling you, you know, 10 people on the street, 9 out of 10 know John Cena. And, you know, so far I'm pretty confident in that answer, because I was at one of the diners having that discussion, and I said, well, who do you know now? And the answer was John Cena, you know.
And the other name, which hasn't changed in 30 years.
Hulk Hogan. Right. But also The Rock is in that conversation
The Rock is in that conversation. Stone Cold, to a degree, is in that conversation.
Yeah, The Rock,
Stone A lesser Cold. Degree, but he's in there. But who's Daniel Bryan? Who's CM
Nobody
Punk?
Nobody knows CM Punk. Nobody knows Daniel Bryan. Nobody knows Shawn Michaels.
Randy Orton.
Outside. I'm talking about outside.
Bret Hart. No, Bret Hart, same way. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels were never the stars that Hogan, Austin, Rock, like, they're
transcended
not,
pop
they're
culture.
Not on that level.
Right.
They're not on that level.
That's right. And John Cena versus The Rock was...
That's why somebody said, like, I got to ask this question. If you had, like, a wrestling Mount Rushmore,
right,
and could fit four faces, or five, maybe five, let's say five faces on there, even though I think there's supposed to be four.
I think it's supposed to be four.
But you would think of Bruno, Hogan, Cena... Cena has to be on there. Austin. I think Bruno, Hogan, Austin, Cena.
No Rock.
I could go, well, probably not. If we're talking iconic faces of their respective era, and you gotta fit one, like, just pick one, Austin and Rock are right up there, but Austin is the face of that era.
Is The Rock... What is The Rock's main profession? Well, he's a movie star now. But will he go down more as a movie star or as a wrestler?
It depends. It depends how much longer he does the movie thing for and how much better at it he gets.
Right.
You know, maybe Rock wins an Academy Award one day. You don't know. It's possible. Stranger things have happened. It's too early to tell. Just like it's too early to put Miz in the Hall of Fame. You put me in the ground before you put Miz in the Hall of Fame.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, I meant to ask this to you, and then we moved on. But who do you think... What is going on with Paul Bearer? This has not been announced.
I don't know. I don't have any news as to who's inducting him and who's accepting.
Well, what's your gut?
My gut tells me that the induction will be done by... Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I could see Kane doing the induction and Undertaker accepting. So Undertaker doesn't even have to speak. If they don't want him to speak, he can show up. He can make a kind gesture. He can accept. It doesn't have to be
his... In character with music and fog and dressed up as the Undertaker?
No, not fog.
What?
Fog.
Well, he comes out to fog. What are you making fun of me for that?
Okay. No, he's not coming. I know he comes out to fog. I watch television every week. He's not coming out in the hood.
No?
With fog.
Thunder? Lightning?
No. Raise the lights?
No. Well, why do you say no?
I don't see that. I do think the Undertaker...
Does Rey Mysterio wear his mask when he's in the audience?
He always wears his mask.
Hello. Okay. So?
So what?
So there you go.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm more disgusted that Carlos Colon is going into the Hall of Fame, but we'll...
Why is that? Yeah, guy, go ahead. Oh, well, I know. You mentioned this last week.
Why, you really have to get into this
No,
again?
You mentioned this last week.
Yeah.
There was a murder.
I'm not saying he committed the murder, but there was a murder.
And it was...
Under his watch.
And it became a joke and he incorporated it into storylines.
Not a joke necessarily, but he, you know, look.
They look the other way.
You probably have plenty of people in the Hall of Fame, including this year. Look at Jake. Look right. at Scott Hall, who have been scumbags at different points in their lifetime, okay?
How many people have mugshots that are going into the Hall of Fame this year?
You could do a whole Wrestling Hall of Fame of mugshots, is what you can do.
That's true. Well, you know, so, I think it's a travesty if The Undertaker does not speak for Paul Bearer, either accepting or delivering.
I think he'll be there.
Any, I don't say be there. I'm saying...
No, I think on, whether he speaks or not, on stage, whether as the inductor or the acceptor, he'll be there.
Yeah, but I think he needs to speak. You know, I watched that Triple H DVD, and if he's talking, you know, if yeah. Triple H okayed...
He was in a hoodie, I think, when he did this.
He was in
hoodie.
A hoodie. That's why I think he's going to wear his hood. But, I mean, if Triple H, if somebody, Vince McMahon, Triple H, whoever, okayed him to get out of character for a minute and have a conversation about how great Triple H is, don't tell me that they're not. He's not going to talk about Paul Bearer.
I think there's a very good chance he will. I hope he does.
Absolutely.
I hope he does.
Or maybe when they induct Percy Pringle in the future for his second induction, that's when The Undertaker
does that mean that Ed Leslie gets into the Hall of Fame 8 times for Brutus Beefcake, Booty Man, Disciple,
no,
and everything
because,
else?
No, because the character has to be Hall of Fame worthy.
Apparently not. There are lots of people in the Hall of Fame who don't belong there.
That's true.
This has been fun. I've enjoyed this.
This has been great, Solid Monster. It's always good talking to you. I hope I didn't piss or annoy everybody.
I think you're fine. I think you're a swell guy.
And I know Brian Blade is probably won't even listen to this in protest.
Yeah, and again, we're very disappointed that he could not join us. He is here in spirit, Brian Blade is. Again, if you have questions for the mailbag, please keep emailing them to me, thesolomonster@gmail.com. Tweet me during the show on Sunday night. I want to know how that network stream is. Very curious to see how it affects different people, what platform you're on, and that kind of stuff.
I beg you. I beg you, if you're listening to this before WrestleMania 30, I beg you, please. I know you paid your $9.99 for the WWE Network. I'm begging you, please, if you really want to watch WrestleMania, if you want to watch WrestleMania 30 from 7 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern, do yourself the favor. It's one more pay-per-view, potentially. Even if this was a regular, if this was a B pay-per-view, I would say chance it. But this, if you really have your heart set on WrestleMania, if you have people coming over to your house, please do yourself the favor. Get it on traditional television because there is no chance in hell that this thing is going to be flawless. It might be a little bit laggy. It might be pixelated, or it might be worse. And, boy, that would just yeah. that would just be so
It would be
terrible.
Too bad. It would be too bad to have those kinds of issues and then get all pissed off and angry, and nobody needs that. So that's our advice. I mean, you do what you want
to
do. But
just go to www.com/thesolomonster and click on the referral link. No, I'm kidding. There's no referral.
You can go to audibletrial.com/solomonster.
Do that, too.
By the way, I forgot to mention this. You know, Jeff Jarrett is going to have an announcement out on Monday. Finally. He's been teasing it for months, and he has... I don't know if he's teased it or outright said he will have a new video up on Monday.
Is that stupid?
He's timing this. I think the timing is actually perfect.
Is
because
it? Okay.
Every interest in wrestling is at a fever pitch right now. It's the day after WrestleMania. That night is the big Monday Night Raw. I mean, it could get lost in the shuffle.
I would argue to you that the most passionate, crazy wrestling fans are in New Orleans, and they're not, they're, for a change, more disconnected than normal.
I think it makes sense for him to do this.
All right.
And so finally, it looks like we'll have more information on what his big project is. It's probably a new promotion. He's it may not be starting for another year or so.
He's got a television contract with Spike TV that starts in October.
That would be very bad news for Dixie Carter. Delusional Dixie would be very upset if that happened. Follow me on Twitter this weekend because, again, we're in New Orleans. I'm going to be all around town going to different events, Access, Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, Raw, among other things. So, and we're getting closer to 5,000 too on Twitter.
Congratulations.
At Solomonster. So follow me on there. We're on Facebook as well. The Facebook group will be very, it's already very active, and we'll have a thread on the group page, not the profile page. Although you can friend me on there too, but if you look for the official Solomonster Sounds Up group on Facebook, I have to approve you to be a member, and I'm trying to find time to do that at different points during this this stay here in New Orleans. So find us on there. We're on YouTube. We're all over the place, but you already know that. And make a PayPal donation on thesolomonster.com. You can sign up for the Audible trial, all that good stuff. So I want to thank Marcus and his lovely wife yet again for inviting us to their Norwegian wedding here in New Orleans. It was a lot of fun. I'm really glad we were able to make that. Thank you to Noah Mark for helping to make this podcast possible and these roundtables that we do every year.
Thank you.
It's his technological prowess that makes them possible.
And I'll give a quick shout out to my own Twitter, at DJNoah80.
At DJ, because he is a DJ.
I am.
Noah80.
I am.
That is his official Twitter. And because he would be very upset if we didn't mention it, at Superblade. You can follow Brian Blade on Twitter. He'll be joining us for the festivities starting tomorrow.
Oh, if anything happens at WrestleMania that's not cool or not kosher, you will see him.
He wears his heart on his sleeve. You will know about it. You will definitely know about it. Oof. So that wraps up another annual roundtable edition of The Sound Off. Thank you very much for downloading the podcast and supporting the show. Very much appreciate that. Enjoy WrestleMania. Hopefully it is stress-free for those of you who are watching, and hopefully we get the big climactic happy ending that I know many of us. I'm not talking about the happy ending you get when you go for a massage at an Asian parlor. I'm not talking about that. A different kind. I mean, you can get that too, but I'm talking about a different kind of
happy. Either way, ending. You both say
you are
yes, 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 yes.
To be a little louder, yes, you scream it, right?
Yes, yes.
So thank you again for downloading the podcast. Until next time, be well, stay safe. We will see you back here for another new normal episode of The Sound Off next weekend with our post-WrestleMania wrap-up. That'll be episode 322. So until then, take care, enjoy WrestleMania, and we'll see you again soon.
Stay safe.
I already said that.
Okay.
You just ruined the ending.
I'm sorry.
You've been listening to The Sala Monster Sounds Off, giving you the good.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima.
The bad.
And I am back to headline WrestleMania, so deal with it!
And the ugly. Then they have a hat. The hat itself is actually nice. It looks like a nice hat. What's wrong with this is it's a beard baseball hat. The entire brim of the hat is a hairy beard. Who the fuck would wear this?
Well, mostly the good.
You can't disregard the fans! You can't disrespect the talent! I think we all want to see a change!
Sala Monster sounds off.
Since 2007... on thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes.
Solo Monsters Sound Off.